Community Broadcasting, WJFK-FM, Manassas, Washington, D.C.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
What happened to this one?
Participate in a Don and Mike show contest? How about this? You are a member of your household.
Hi.
Can only win once for 60 days.
Equality.
Other than the age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, PO Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless. You can call Don and Mike anytime, from anywhere in America.
Stop.
877-365-3636.
Stop.
They're ready to believe you.
We've not even opened the door yet.
I was just having fun.
What did you say? Oh, my. Here they are.
Not just a break.
Mike, they're protesting the firing of Frank Herzog today. That's why they're gathering today.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
They had a busy weekend.
Did they?
Yeah, they had to count all those Oscar ballots.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Crystal.
Thank you.
And all the ships at sea. The personal trainers, the Lord of the Rings director, Peter Jackson.
Yeah.
Don't quiz. It's Don Geronimo and Mike. Oh,
yeah.
Don and Mike Show.
Good heavens, no.
Yeah, Don and Mike Show, a new episode on this Monday. I hope you remember to say it.
Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
March.
Did I beat you?
First.
Oh, no, I did it this morning.
Oh, that's right.
2004.
Hi, Don and Mike, Buzz Burbank here.
Yep. That's how we started the day.
Yeah, you do it at home, and then you do it here for, like, show.
Yeah, and just for show.
When you wake up, right?
The rule is...
I did it for my daughters today for the first time ever.
Wow. And, Mike, watch now, like the magic blue dot in the Enquirer, watch as your daughters' lives change.
Really, for the better, right? It's good luck.
Now, here's the thing. That's supposed to be the case. This is the superstition that I really have now... had born into to my unpsych, my
unconscious
and some psychotic level. Mm-hmm. I know on the first day of the month to wake up and not say anything. I mean, I don't even go.
Oh, see, I said a lot before I said it.
No, I make no noises at all. I wake up,
but if you say it, it's still good, right?
I saw my wife coming towards me. She had just gotten up to go to open the curtains, and I said, I looked at her and I said, "Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit." She said. Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. If you hadn't said it, I would have forgotten it. And then I thought, last month...
Well, now, hold on a second. Is the superstition that those have to be the first words out of your mouth?
Yes.
Well, then it's smooth.
Otherwise,
in front of my kids after I've been talking to them all morning.
Otherwise, the month is gone. It's a lost month. Let me, however, throw out that I also said rabbit, rabbit, rabbit as the first thing that I said in the month of February.
Yeah.
And the month of February was the month that,
of hell.
The month that everything happened.
Didn't go so well.
So go figure. However, ladies and gentlemen, am I not simply the strongest person on the planet?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say to you, as far as throat and cold... Thank you.
I don't know how you're doing.
Here I am. Listen to this.
I'm giving you the movie applause. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I'm giving you the...
Yeah, the very slow and deliberate, as if to say, yes, okay, we're paying to do it, but we will applaud it. Yes, yes. Because I offered it up the same way that the Hollywood celebrities offered up their various statements last night.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
Something that really only affects me. Let's face it. I had a cold, a big friggin' deal. I had a cold for 2 days on the show.
Yes.
Feel better today. Really not worthy of a life-changing announcement, but I sure did see it last night during the Oscars. I sure did see a lot of that last night. And how about our man, BC?
All right.
Boy, did he suck.
He did.
And we'll have the...
Could he suck anymore?
No, the entire replay.
After all that... Hype
was horrible.
And analysis of...
I mean, really, you hype yourself that much, you better deliver the goods.
Yeah. Remember, he prepared for 3 months for this.
Yes, of course.
Oh. And you got to hear the tapes from the Barbara Walters show where he's talking about he has thousands of jokes on file for this Oscars broadcast, and he treats it like it's a football game where if somebody wins, he'll talk to one of his writers, like Bruce Valanche or somebody, and say, okay, give me A, B, or C for this person. And then you watch it last night, and you go, what the... What are you talking about?
Right. What is all that? I mean, especially jokes from... It's like, what Bob Hope's old jokes?
Dude, that is not...
Wow, yeah.
Not funny. What a wonderful weekend I had.
Good.
I just wanted to mention, I was very pleasantly surprised when my son came home this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Made the drive up from college. Surprised us on Friday night. Spent the weekend up here. You know, when he got up here, I immediately said to him, "It's great to see you." He had called and said, "I'm coming up. You can't stop me."
Right.
You know, because
that's your mind.
Kind of how mm-hmm. how it is. And I said, "I'm coming up because I want to see you guys," meaning, you know, Frida and myself. And I said, "Are you sure you just don't want to, you know, see your girlfriend? I mean, after all, he is almost 19. I think I know what's going on there."
Hey.
And he said, no, I really want to see
you. No, hey, 19.
So I said to him, "Well, how about this? Then we all go out to dinner on Saturday night, me and Mom and you and your girlfriend." And he said, "You got it, like nothing better." So we had a wonderful weekend.
See, he's getting older.
It was
excellent.
Great having him around. Also, a bulletin. This bulletin just in from my son, who is, as I mentioned, is going to be 19 very soon. He has discovered that there are some classes in college that require simply too much work.
Yeah.
That's
what the freshman year is all about.
That was the big announcement that we had yesterday as we were piling his stuff back into the car so he could make the 9-hour drive back down south. That was the announcement. He just said, "Hey, do you guys know that I have to take classes that really are hard, and I don't think these classes are going to help me with what I want to do later in life?"
Well, that's just a continuation of school in general.
That's correct. Right. For goodness sakes. Oh, so anyway, listen, a really good weekend. I don't have any complaints about the weekend at all. I was getting healthier. I had my son around. I had my wife around. Here, as far as the radio industry goes, we're exactly where we were last week.
Yep.
And we're getting on board with this. Are you ready for, because, you know, here at Infinity Broadcasting, I like to think we're ground zero tolerance.
That's right.
We're not just zero tolerance.
We're ground zero tolerance.
We're ground zero tolerance because this is a company that came out before the other company to say no more bad stuff on the radio.
Amen.
Right. Do we have the tapes of the new, do we have the new FCC tapes? Are these all new?
Yes.
These are all new?
Oh, more.
Yesterday, Clear Channel announced its new responsible broadcasting initiative.
I heard that guy before. I was going to cut number 20. I don't have the grid sheet yet.
No one sitting in this room can tell me it is in the public interest that cable and satellite providers use the public's spectrum and public right-of-ways to pipe indecent and obscene material into American living rooms at all hours of the day.
So we got a lot of these intros and outros from the Witch Hunt.
So you'll know.
Which is continuing today. Now, we have two items on this that we hope will inform and amuse you.
I hope so.
Good. The first is a press release from the Green Mountain Manifesto. This is a guy we had on the show. You might remember we had this guy on the show about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
An idiot guy who sends us a press release saying he's leading a group of people. They want Vermont to secede from the United States.
We figure at best he's a quack, and at worst he's just a guy that maybe will try to be funny, and that's why we call him.
Right. So we call this guy up, and we give him the standard runaround. Meanwhile, he's getting in like 8,000 plugs for his website.
Right.
And the whole time that he's on our show, while
we're having a little fun with the state of Vermont, because that's you know, otherwise it's going to be very dull.
While we're asking him these questions, he never hangs up the telephone. He never says, "I find this to be distasteful." He does manage to point out his website more than one point.
He did.
So he wrote a complaint letter saying that he didn't like the way he was treated on the show, even though he was a guest. He was invited. He sent us the press release.
It seemed fine.
And then after we got in trouble a couple of weeks ago, he put out this press release. And I read it to you now. Don and Mike show muzzled. The second Vermont Republic, Vermont's fledgling solidarity movement, claimed a major victory today in its bout with media giants Viacom and Clear Channel Communications.
So he decided he'd jump on that bandwagon.
So cute. On February 23rd, during the regular afternoon talk show produced by Washington, D.C. radio station WJFK, incidentally, a great radio station.
Yeah.
Amen. And a great time to be the general manager of this radio station. Oh, more on that in a couple of seconds.
Bad as our month. Then Alan, I think Alan's month is continuing.
Produced by Washington, D.C. radio station WJFK, nationally syndicated smut show hosts Don and Mike announced they had been muzzled. No longer would they be allowed to engage in unrestrained bathroom talk, discussions of lurid sexual practices, and graphic discussions of human excrements. Since that was what the show is all about, it has been effectively gutted.
Not.
Well, right.
No
right.
way.
Hey, listen, dumbass. We're reading your letter on the air, so we're not gutted. The Second Vermont Republic became involved in the Don and Mike show on January 21st when one of its members, Tom Naylor, was invited to be a guest on the show.
This is Tom doing the typing.
Okay, this is,
yeah, Tom's writing it.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Right there, that should tell you where the guy's at.
Right. It's the Green Mountain Manifesto, and it has his name, Tom Naylor, and his number and his website.
Of course. Yeah, Tom wrote it and then writes Tom. I mean, that's beyond third person.
He's the whole movement.
I'm a stranger to myself.
Here's the part about this that's the funniest. President, God, well, maybe someday. Professor Naylor soon found himself, again, you guys are right, it's him writing about himself, found himself the object of a vicious assault by Don and Mike. Oh, it was truly vicious. Peppered with questions and accusations related from everything to sex, another kind of sex, the color of something, clamps that would be put on a part of a body, to charges that Vermont teddy bears and Ben and Jerry's Chunky Monkey ice cream.
This is my favorite part.
Are made from human body parts.
Now, that was my favorite part.
Hold on. Don and Mike even claimed, quote, half the products made in Vermont are produced from human remains. la, 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 la. WJFK is owned by media conglomerate Viacom. Don and Mike show is beamed into Vermont elsewhere by right-wing Clear Channel Communications. And then finally, about the Don and Mike show, Professor Naylor had this to say.
Yeah.
So he's speaking to himself now.
Yes.
What do you have to say, Tim?
What do you have to say, Professor Naylor? I will tell you, Professor Naylor.
Here's the quote. The Don and Mike show is aimed clearly at the living dead.
Whoa!
Its objective is the dumbing down and numbing of America.
Oh, yes, that is our evil objective.
Kiss my
We wish to numb you.
Kiss my ass. Kiss my ass, you dumb flake. You sent us the press release.
Talk about a guy that's
seceding from the union. And I stand by all of those comments we made, especially the ones about how there are products made in Vermont.
The teddy bears and everything, human remains.
Not just the teddy bears. The teddy bears have the name Vermont on them.
Right.
I'm telling you, you know that maple syrup that you're enjoying in Vermont?
Sure.
Has it ever tasted like human blood to you? Has it? Think about it. And think about other things.
Like Chunky Monkey from Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah. Hey, what's in those chunks?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those aren't chunks of monkeys.
Chunks of
it's
what?
It's evil. Half the products are made from human remains.
And that Cabot Cove cheese that you think is cheese?
Yeah.
Well, I got news for you.
Right.
It's body cheese.
Oh, my God.
It's body cheese.
Ew.
That's right. In every little vat of Ben and Jerry, sometimes you find an eyelash or something that lets you know that the human process. Let me just say this. Soylent Green
is people.
Soylent Green is Vermont.
Vermont people.
Soylent Green is Vermont.
Well, at least it's 100% Vermonters that they use. You know, they don't use anybody else. They use people from Vermont, and I think that's wonderful.
So kiss my ass, you flake. Now, item number two, spotlight on. Advertiser of the day, Don and Mike show, advertiser of the day.
We have an advertiser of the day.
Oh,
that's
good.
Fantastic.
As you know, we've been given by Infinity Broadcasting new guidelines that apply to, I guess, a handful of shows based on what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
We're one of the shows that the rules are being enforced on.
Aye.
So we've been told no sexual talk,
right.
No excretory talk,
right.
Nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
What we'd like to do to show that we're on board with this,
yes.
And not only are we on board, but we're here to support the people who still support this type of watered-down shock radio.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, spotlight on. We'll be running this commercial. What time is this on the log today, Robbie?
I think it's already aired today, as a matter of fact.
It's already aired today?
Yeah.
Well, here we go. Spotlight on. Let me see the name of this. This is Boston Med.
Oh. Boston Med. Very good.
Boston Med.
All right.
Spotlight from Infinity Broadcasting that guarantees you zero tolerance. Remember their slogan around here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If in doubt, take it out.
All right, good.
And now, a message from your sex drive. Hey, guys. Yep. It's your sex drive. Remember me? We used to be quite a team, you know, until you started having, shall we say, issues with your equipment. You know, problems south of the old belt buckle.
What your sex drive is saying is, if you're having problems achieving and maintaining sexual performance, you may be suffering from ED, erectile dysfunction.
Mm. Let me just stop it right there to say, this is a fascinating commercial.
Sure is. I'm glad you spotlighted the advertiser of the day.
I'm glad to be pointing out the advertiser of the day here at Zero Tolerance Infinity Broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's continue. They're a great sponsor. I stopped the commercial.
A real medical problem that requires a real medical solution.
You see, listen to the man, because we've tried the little blue pills, the yellow pills, the herbs, the hormones. None of them put any gas in my tank.
At the Boston Medical...
You know what I don't get about this commercial is there's two people talking.
Yeah.
One guy has reverb on his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Who is that?
I don't know, but he's kind of a hey, kind of a sleazy sounding guy.
I got the impression that maybe it's the guy's...
Oh, right. Maybe that's it, huh?
I think it's that's... Well, listen, I don't want to go near that, of course.
Who knows?
I don't... I'm just saying.
Group, our board-certified physicians are experts at treating ED and premature ejaculation, usually in just one visit. And your privacy is guaranteed with private waiting rooms and prescriptions filled on-site.
Now that's music to my loins.
Call the Boston Medical Group at 1-866-SEX-FOR-LIFE. That's 1-866-SEX, the number 4, life. Or online at bostonmedicalgroup.com.
Okay, right. Come on. And it'll be like old times again.
The Boston Medical Group. Manhood's best friend.
See, I think that was Manhood talking.
Mm-hmm. I think it was
the reverb.
It was a guy because he was talking about his can I say loins?
Yes. Yeah, but his loins are talking back to him, though. His loins are the ones that are saying with the reverb.
The guy's the other guy's just an announcer, and the guy's just talking about
it. The reverb guy identifies himself at the beginning of the commercial as your sex drive.
Oh, he does. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, I just wanted to say be careful about spotlighting the spot too much. Goodbye.
Now, why
is that what they said? Repetitive
you?
Thing, you know.
Yes, but here's the thing. I understand.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I just want to point out, ladies and gentlemen, here you go. So, am I to understand? And keep in mind, we're fine with the way things are, doing this show like this. But if you can be dirty, do you have to buy it at 60 seconds a clip?
Probably.
Yeah, it helps.
Is that what you got to do?
It helps if you have cash.
If you got my soda, like if just to serve that portion of our audience that misses that part of the show,
I would urge our listeners to listen to all the commercials.
How much does a commercial cost?
I know some people in the back room. I can get you probably a good deal.
Oh, you know what? No, I think Mike just hit it. If you want to hear the dirty part of the show, you got to listen to the commercials.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's where you're going to hear the dirty part.
Mm-hmm.
And for my ears, that commercial that I just heard, that was repetitive.
Yes, it
that was. That was highly repetitive.
Sure. Yeah. Yes, it was.
Anyway, there you go. That's the Infinity Broadcasting Ground Zero Tolerance Advertiser of the Day.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
See, this is dripping with sarcasm right now.
You think?
I just want to. Well, I want to cut through, Mike. I
want to make sure that they.
Because,
you know, let me tell you, if people don't realize you're being sarcastic, I don't want them listening to this show.
That's right. Well, the guy's press release said that we just have dumb people.
Well, that guy.
And we're numbing down the dumb people.
Well, that's the same guy that took very seriously the fact that we said Vermont teddy bears are made from human remains.
But, Mike, that's true. All we're doing is speaking the absolute gospel.
Oh, it's so tough to be sarcastic.
So just wait until. We're going to go through the rack and continue to find more of these great commercials.
Very good. Fair of
the mind. Alan Linewand is the general manager of WJFK, our home station here in D.C. There was a little thing that happened on Friday, and we've gotten, as usual, in the media, no credit for breaking the story that the WJFK radio station is firing the announcer from the Redskins broadcast of 25 years.
Yeah, a guy that's really kind of an institution in town.
Frank Herzog.
Right.
Hey, Alan Linewand, I know you're listening back in your office right now under the desk in the fetal position. Are you feeling the love, Alan?
Yeah, there's a little bit of controversy over the move. A lot of people are not real...
I don't want to say a lot of people, but there's a lot of ink,
negative ink about this situation.
Now, this does happen... In other arenas, in other walks of life, this happens in media. You've got three guys, I'll give you the backstory on this, for those of you not from the D.C. area. You've got three guys who have been calling the Washington Redskins games on radio together
for
25 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you my honest take. We've invited Frank Herzog to come on our show today, the guy who got fired, to take your telephone calls.
Yes.
I've invited Larry Michael, who is a friend of ours, to come on the show today. He's going to be on tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I bet tonight he didn't take any phone calls.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see if he does.
I've invited them both to come on either together or to separately, just to talk about what's going on.
Right.
This whole company is so mismanaged And I'm glad to be able to speak about this now in very, very black and white terms, like the whole commercial thing. Mm-hmm. Somebody explain that to me.
Yeah, right.
Why is that okay, but what we want to do is not okay and not repetitive? Explain to me why, when you've just gone through the worst 2 or 3 weeks in your radio station's history, mm-hmm. and when the coach, who was the coach when the team was good, mm-hmm. comes back, why now do you fire Herzog? And even if you're going to go ahead and fire Herzog, you mean you guys, the management here and the Redskins, you're so stupid, you don't have a backup plan?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a plan like a bag of money to give to Herzog and say, listen, why don't you say you want to retire? Why don't you say it's getting to be too much for you? You know, look what they did on Monday Night Football. They just put him in that plastic casket.
Right.
I mean,
that didn't last very long.
No, but it was a way of...
It was kind of a way of easing him out.
Transitioning right. him out. Here's been my take on Herzog the whole time. And there are three guys on this show. It's Frank Herzog is the play-by-play guy. Sonny is the quarterback.
Right.
Steve Jurgensen. Sam Huff is the linebacker.
Mm-hmm. It's a one play-by-play guy on the radio with two color commentators.
Right. It is an acquired taste. You have to live in the Washington, D.C. area to understand it.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I've always said about that, the best thing about that broadcast, is that you can jump into that broadcast halfway through, a quarter of the way through, and you'll know whether the Redskins are winning or not by the tone.
And
I've always kind of thought that was charming. Yeah.
Those guys have a chemistry together.
I have to say this honestly. I've also listened to it sometimes when it's driven me insane.
Sure, because they all, listen, it's not just Herzog. They all make mistakes. They all don't know sometimes who has the ball. They all sometimes don't know the score. They all are guilty of looking at the replay monitor and announcing it on radio as if it's happening live
mm-hmm.
when they're looking at a TV replay. I mean, it's happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened with these guys. Here's exactly, from what my understanding of the situation, how this happened with Herzog. Really what they want to do eventually is bust it up. Bust up the team of Sonny, Sam, and Frank. Just like Madden and Summerall were eventually busted up.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody eventually gets busted up. Because you get guys that are just too old, or so the advertisers say.
Right.
So rather than just grow a set, and they've talked about this for the last... How long have we heard the scuttlebutt around the
state? I've heard rumors for a couple of years.
Yeah.
2-3 years.
That they were going to do something with one of them, or both of them, or all three of these guys who broadcast the game.
I was pretty shocked when it went down, though.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody told us anything, really. We got it from Hallway Scuttlebutt, and that's when we broke it to you, because we, from the sources we heard, we knew that something had happened.
But again, you know, great timing, Alan. Fantastic timing. You're coming off the FCC hearings. You've already got the bright light on you. Why not make it just a little brighter? Why not feel like one of those McDonald's fries underneath that heat lamp? Because you don't even handle it correctly. You don't allow the guy that you're firing to say goodbye to the people that he's working with. You don't give him an environment in which he can still be a part
of
what's going on here. What you've done is you just kicked the guy out. And here's... From when I was involved with Redskins broadcasts, good, bad, or indifferent, here's what the rap I always hear on Herzog. Well, he's a good play-by-play guy, but he mixes up the players a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And my answer to that is, and I said it 3 years ago, I'll say it now, Herzog's the only broadcaster in that room. Not that Larry Michael's not a broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
So's Herzog.
Right.
And if anybody had the stones to pull this guy aside at any time during the last 3 years and say, hey, dude, you got to know who number 87 is.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know 87 is Rod Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say the man in motion. The quarterback throws to the man. The ball is caught. You got to know. Throw it to Rod Gardner, number 87.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you had to sit down with the guy before every game and say, okay, let's go over the starting offense and defense, mm-hmm. who's number 54 for Tampa Bay, who's number 58. Imagine Herzog would have gone along with that.
Sure.
From what I understand, that's the only rap, the reason for getting rid of him, is that he fumbled stuff mm-hmm. a lot. Well, all those guys fumble stuff a lot. And now it's been fumbled by this radio station, where they've fired somebody who's worked for 25 years and is very known with this football team.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And they've not done it in a way that's gracious. I mean, they fired him the way that they were going to fire you and me.
Yeah.
For allowing that bad word to get on the radio.
Yeah, absolutely. Where it's just, see ya.
Right.
With no, you know, with no grace and no, you know, no support. I mean, you kind of, when people have a track record in this business, it's not a bad idea to maybe handle things graciously.
Just have some freaking accountability. Just have some accountability. Because right now, if you ask anybody here, well, you won't get a comment from anybody here. You know, outside of the junk you read, and hey, wasn't it great seeing Alan Leinwand's name in the Washington Post on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday?
It's been a tough couple of weeks for Alan.
Yeah,
sure has. Seems to me
probably a little. You know what? In with all due respect to Alan, probably a little tougher for Frank. I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah. I gotta say what I feel. Yeah.
Which is why I offered him the chance today. We've called and asked if Frank would like to be on the show. Not to editorialize, not to talk about anything except to take some phone calls from people.
Take some calls to the people that want to say, hey, thanks for 25 years. And I think that would be good. I wouldn't sit here and let somebody bust Frank's chops. I wouldn't want to hear that.
Wouldn't it be ironic? Don't you?
And you know, can I say also,
if he was on the radio station, I really fired him on Friday?
It sounds like I'm sitting on the fence, but Larry is a good friend. And Larry's a very good friend. In fact, Larry's a better a friend of our show and somebody Frank, we know than Frank is.
Sure.
But we've known Frank for a long time. Frank's been on this show. It's very tough. It's very, very difficult.
Listen, well, I think what we're both saying is this is something that's been talked about for a while, behind the scenes,
right,
making this move. And Sonny and Sam, if you think you guys are untouchable, think again.
Right.
Think again.
You were mentioning to me that there was an article in Washington Post that indicated why did they stay put? Why didn't they walk when that
happened? George Solomon in today's Washington Post writes, how come Sam and Sonny don't quit?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because a dog, hello, McFly, it's dog eat dog. It's obviously each man for himself.
In some situations that's true, in others it's not. I mean, it depends.
Obviously, in that relationship with those three guys,
right,
it's not like that.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't be held. You shouldn't slam Sonny or Sam. They made that decision. They're going to fire Herzog. They're going to put somebody else in. That's like when they got rid of Summerall.
Exactly.
Madden didn't say, I quit. Madden did say,
well, earlier Summerall worked with Brookshire, and they got rid of Brookshire.
Yeah. Madden did say, this stinks. I like working with the guy that's stomach is falling apart.
Right.
And I believe what they did on Fox was they did give Pat Summerall some. Doesn't he do something now? Doesn't he do, like, Depends commercials? Or
he does something now.
He does something.
Yeah, he's now I can't say
no,
I can Sanders.
It.
Rob's waving his hand.
I know he calls Cowboys games.
Yeah, he does all the regional Cowboys games.
Yeah, he does Cowboys games.
Right.
So why doesn't Frank just get a job doing Cowboys games? I mean, Infinity owns the Cowboys. Anyway, it's highly,
you know, I like what you
highly
say.
Unfair.
I will say also, I wouldn't mind, you know, nothing is etched in stone, really, in this business. I think we've proven that.
Right.
I wouldn't mind seeing them throw Frank a nugget. And I think with the public outcry, and I want to qualify this, okay, because it's really important to qualify this. There's a public outcry according to the newspaper.
Yeah, the guys, and we've
okay,
not...
Okay, there's a public... I don't know.
We've
I mean,
not had the chance to talk to you guys. That's how we can decide if it's a public outcry, right?
I'd like to know what people really think.
Yeah.
If it's that big a deal, I'd like to know if this is being created. I like Frank, I like Larry, but the fact is, I don't trust these media, the local media journalists. I think we've had personal experiences.
Here's
not necessarily all that on the up and up.
So you make a leap of faith, though, for the journalists that on some level... they're passing along the truth. I think...
No, I just said the opposite.
No, hold on. But the leap of faith that I...
I just said that I don't trust them.
Right. Well, hold on. Maybe I'm backwards in explaining this to you.
I don't understand what you're saying.
I do believe what's in the paper, because what's in the paper is what's been told to them. But you're talking about if in fact, people are in up in arms.
Really up in
you're
arms.
Reading about...
Yeah. Since day one, before you could even have public outcry, I've heard about public outcry.
The answer to that question is, yes, I've seen it. The phone number here at the radio station is absolutely ringing off the hook.
That's much more credible than...
It is off the hook.
Yeah.
I do know that email boxes are full.
Okay, good. All right. I do know that. Then I stand corrected. I did not know that.
They don't like this word, but I'm going to say it. I've been made aware of some sponsor boycotts.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, then I wasn't aware of that, and we'll see what everybody really thinks about this.
Anyway, I'd like to...
It's a very tough situation.
Yeah. I'd like to have Frank on the show today.
I'd like Frank to come on the show for, at the very least, just to get a chance to...
Say goodbye.
Say goodbye to everybody.
And, you know,
or if he is going to. I mean, and what I was going to say before about stuff being etched in stone, you know, I think this was in an article that I read today where, you know, give him a nugget or something like that. Make him part of the broadcast. If he doesn't want it, he doesn't want it. But give him something.
I just said that. Put him in the glass box.
Yeah.
You know, if it's the pregame show,
that's
whatever.
Right. I'm sorry, it wasn't in the newspaper.
You just said it was a half, whatever it is. You know.
Something.
Have him be involved with the broadcast.
I like both guys. I'd like him to still be a part of the broadcast, you know.
You know, as long as we're just laying it out there. I said this on Friday. In my opinion, you got rid of the wrong guy. You're going to clean up that booth. Sam really just ain't right in the head.
Oh, dear. This is going to be worse. This is going to be worse. No, he's perfectly sane, Don.
Mike, he's... I kid, of course,
well,
because
you
see,
I love
about
broadcast. Frank was a broadcaster.
Right.
Right, Frank?
I love to play in mud because I wasn't the fastest guy in the world, but you think he's in mud, and I'm just the fastest.
Well, now we're going to have... Now when Sam comes by the station again, you're going to get in trouble. He's going to come in and put his big...
Listen,
I don't care how old he is. He scares the crap out of me.
And I would say the same thing about the guy that I respect a lot, Sonny Jurgensen. I mean, you know, they're all doing what they're doing because no one has said to them, hey, guys, you know, we're going to try to pick up the pace or whatever it is. Whatever, you know, here's the thing. This radio station wants, like every radio station, they want to foxize what is presented on the radio. They want to add
a high energy delivery. They want, you know, they've streamlined a lot of it. They've actually put a lot of highlights, and they've done stuff a lot that you had to do with.
Yeah.
You put in the Earl Forsey stuff, which I think makes the game absolutely much more listenable.
My thought
on the
is
radio.
You still package it and present it as much as you want, but it's still the three amigos.
That's right.
It's still these three old guys who are now trapped in a box of technology.
Mm-hmm.
They're still calling a football game, but they have no freaking idea about the sounds and the music that they're hearing. All they know is that when they hear that music, they got 15 seconds to get the break.
Right.
That's how you clean it up. But apparently, this decision's been made, and once again, WJFK management has been real vague. I mean, it's like see-through time with them. They're so transparent. No one wants to come out and say exactly why this move was made.
And I'd like to hear, you know, you're never going to do it. Why am I asking for something I will never know the answer to? I'd like to hear really who was responsible. There are so many theories, and I've read them, about the fact that, you know, that the little guy was behind this, that Snyder was behind this. The Redskins spokesman obviously says they had nothing to do with it.
Mike,
I'd like to really know the details.
If I could just tell you one important point, and we got to break because we're running late. If you listen to the end of every Redskins game and every NFL game that is broadcast, there's a disclaimer that runs at the end of the game. It says, the express written content of the national, blah, 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 blah. The announcers are chosen by the radio station and the Washington Redskins.
Enough said.
That's a disclaimer that runs at the end of every broadcast.
Okay, yeah. There you go. Says it all.
I told you, I thought it came from both places. All I know is that I'm very fond of Larry. I know for Larry, the guy who got the job, it's been a lifelong dream.
Mm-hmm.
And what's wrong with stating the truth? He wanted the job. He went out and got the job.
Mm-hmm.
He did what I would have done. He aggressively went after the job. There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong at all.
Well, what's wrong with the process is that this place decided they were going to make a change after 25 years that really affect people in this town on Sundays and not address it and at least say this is why we've done it.
Right.
They're hiding under the fabulous infinity cloud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the umbrella. Whenever anything comes up that you should talk about, don't talk about it.
Yeah.
However, I will tell you that there is one way that this topic could be discussed in an open and honest forum, and that's if Howard Stern cared enough to talk about it. Because he'd be able to talk about it, and no one would say anything to him about it.
Right, exactly.
And he'd get people on the air who would give him the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd ask them who they had sex with. But that's just him.
Sure.
That's not us.
He has a different situation.
He sure does.
He sure does.
He sure does. Sure does. Listen, I like our situation. I like our advertisers. I like, what was the name of that advertiser, Rob?
Boston Med.
Boston Med. That's the advertiser right there.
I'm sure they were happy to be spotlighted.
That's the advertiser of the day. We got to break. I don't want to make this whole thing about this announcer in Washington here who's been fired today.
Right.
But
because, you know, we got Oscars to talk about.
We do. And that Billy Crystal, Now, listen, I know that we really wanted to hate him.
We did. We wanted, we, you know, we've actually had times when we wanted to hate Billy Crystal when he had a fairly decent performance. Not the case last night.
No, bad. I mean, bad.
With all the hype about it.
Stinky bad. And when you hear him talk about the preparation that went into this show.
I mean, want to talk about a self-promotion machine.
I'd say there's been more preparation that's gone into the first 30 minutes of this show today and went into the entire Billy Crystal Oscar. And,
sure.
And listen, we're just sliding along by the seat of our pants. All I did was write a couple of things down.
I'm just glad I saw
for us to talk about.
I'm just glad I saw every movie that you know, outside of the big winner, I saw every performance that won. Every one this year. I haven't done that. It's a first for me that I actually saw every performance that won.
I saw none, which is why his little montage at the beginning meant nothing to me.
Well, I didn't see a Lord of the Rings because I'm not a super big fan of that kind of stuff.
Hey, but that guy just dreamy.
I saw Mystic River, I saw Monster, I saw Cold Mountain.
You saw Nemo.
And I saw Finding Nemo.
When we go to break, make sure you meet with the writers because they have a lot of jokes for you to choose from.
David Steinberg is here. Yeah.
Billy Crystal.
Here. Hooray for Hollywood.
You'll hear that. Hold on. Maybe I got this thing.
Hey, did you see it when they almost killed Blake Edwards?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
They wanted to really do a nice little trick, and they really killed him.
Prevent and fix this pervasive evil.
Okay, hold on.
Empower the FCC.
These are the FCC takes.
Enact legislation.
Okay. Thank you.
If necessary, have an amendment to the Constitution.
Yeah, there you go. Another amendment to the Constitution.
You represent the people who own the airways and the rights of way.
Okay, well, let's break now for the dirty part of the show, the commercials.
Yeah.
We'll come back, and Billy Crystal, and we'll get your calls and everything. Stay there. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and
Molly Russell's wart. Not her wart. Not her wart. I'm the wart. She's my tumor. My growth, my pimple. I'm Uncle Wart, just old Buck Wart Russell. That's what they call me, or melanoma head. They'll call me that. Melanoma head's coming. Uncle Maisie Russell's uncle. I'm her uncle.
The Don and Mike Show.
For more than 100 years, the world has been fascinated by the movies. They are more than just an entertainment. They are the force that binds us together, the common link that touches the humanity of all of us.
What's up, Doc? How you doing? The Don and Mike Show.
Little Sean Connery.
Sean Connery doing his best Sean Connery impression.
From the Oscars last night.
For more than a century. Or whatever it is.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello. I got nothing on the screen. Just says Frank. Hello.
Am I Frank? No, I'm not Frank.
You're not Frank. Hi, what's your name?
No, my name's Chris, and Chris. I told Joe I was the public, and I'm pissed. I mean, Frank Herzog was a class act. Not that he's dead or anything, but I really enjoyed listening to him. He was easy to listen to. Nothing against Larry, but his style of announcing makes my head hurt. It's just everybody has different tastes. I'm not slamming anybody. But I ever since Friday, I've been really irritated, and I have no intentions. I'm sorry?
Here's my question. Where was the outrage? We announced this, I believe, like at 4 o'clock on Friday. We announced it. There was no public outrage. It wasn't until it was in the newspaper.
I think people had to digest it a little bit.
Yeah. What, you don't believe us when we tell you someone's been fired? I'm sorry.
Well, you're representing the feelings of a lot of people, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I tried to call Friday when I first read about it, and you had other things going on, and you announced it. I said, well, other people are going to speak, but I heard it this morning, you know, when you were talking about it in the beginning of the show. And, you know, I thought that the public has a right to at least let you know how we feel.
I appreciate it. I think the station does. And here's where, you know, like it or not, FCC guys, we are serving the community.
Mm-hmm.
That people want to talk about how stupid the management of this station is.
Mm-hmm.
And
the public issue.
And on this station, there are only two shows that can take phone calls that address Washington, D.C. issues.
Right.
And that's us or our buddies Ron and Fez,
right,
who are on later tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take some of these calls. Being as I think everyone's agreed that whether you agree or disagree with the move,
mm-hmm,
the way it was done was classless and tasteless.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm saying. You're going to fire somebody. Just be man about it. I mean, and I would have said the same thing when they were going to fire us 2 weeks ago.
Right.
You're going to fire us. Well, allow us a forum to get on and, you know, we've been, Mike and I have been working together 18 years.
Because really getting, you know, especially when you fire a disc jockey, letting a disc jockey have their last show is a great tradition in the radio industry.
Well, all right, see, they wouldn't let us do that,
right.
But they would let him do it because he's a sports guy.
Yeah.
He's a guy. And see, people really like him. You and me, people like us,
mm-hmm.
But the day that we get hit by a bus...
Well, they'll say, hey, that's a shame, they were fun.
Yeah, bye-bye, but there'll be no outcry.
I don't
know. But there will be with this thing. I think there... Well, let's find out if there is or not. Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, a couple things. So I totally agree with you. I don't mind that they're going to let Frank go. I mean, 25 years, you know. But they just showed no respect at all to the man. After 25 years, you know, you give him a victory lap. You know, one last year, you make a big announcement, you let him, you know, go through his last year, he gets his accolades. But my favorite thing this morning in the Post, did you read one of the articles in the Post? They referred to Carl Swanson, the spokesman for the Redskins.
Yeah, yes, he's, uh-huh. he's the Darth Vader of the Redskins.
They compared him to Joseph Goebbels.
the minister of propaganda. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Well, amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you. Let's see. Don and Mike show. Hello, Ian.
Hey, I was wondering if you guys saw the WashingtonPost.com survey results about Frank Herzog.
Negative.
They asked if Frank Herzog, will you still follow the broadcast if he's not there? And out of 18,000 people, about 6,000 to 7,000 said no.
Well, now listen, you should know that's a gut reaction. Jesus, Mike and I have been through that a million times where we've been suspended and people will leave voicemail saying, you know, I will never listen to you guys again. This mm-hmm. is the last thing. So, understand that you're going to get that knee-jerk reaction
well,
from people.
And people, I think, listen, really, the reality of it, they listen to a radio cast of a football game or most sporting events out of necessity now. That's it. If you're in your car, you're going from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's not like in the 1930s where you gather everybody up around the old radio and stuff. I mean, it's out of convenience. And when you're listening, if you're into a game, you're going to listen to it.
Go to JFK.com.
Okay.
Okay. Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello, Bill.
Hey guys, how you doing today?
Hey, we're doing great.
Hey, let me ask you a question. If one of you would happen to get fired, either Don or Mike, either one of you, but just one of you would get fired, would the other one stay on air, or would the other one quit out of
Mike
the
and I,
on the
I
other
can
one?
Answer that because that was recently. A situation that you know, we looked at our contract, and first of all, that doesn't happen.
But see, Mike and I entered into something.
We're tied together. We're attached at the you know at a certain body part.
That we had the contract made saying if one guy goes, the other guy goes. But
absolutely.
there's an understanding beyond that.
Yeah, absolutely.
With Mike and I.
Yeah, we got to, and that's how you last 20 years
okay.
doing something. That's
right.
The way it works.
Good to hear, guys.
I don't think it's the same situation. And in fairness to Frank and Sonny and Sam.
Yeah.
You know, these are guys that see each other a part of the year. You know, they see each other once a week,
right.
And it's a little different.
Right.
It's just a little bit different.
Again, just let me just use as an example. God, this is the worst one radio station in America. I was hip to this by email today. I cannot tell you that I was the one that went into the site to read this.
Mm-hmm.
They fired this guy. They fired the play-by-play guy.
Okay.
If you go to WJFK.com and you click on your home of the Redskins Radio Network,
mm-hmm.
it says top 10 reasons to buy a marketing sponsorship with the Redskins and WJFK. Mm-hmm. This is up right now, real time. I'm going to read this to you. Reason number one, mass local reach. Reason number two, mutual fund of stations. Reason number three, brand network exposure. Reason number four, targeted WJFK FM audience. Reason number five, on the WJFK website,
mm-hmm.
stealing TV viewers. According to field research, 52% of local TV viewers turn down the TV and turn up Redskins radio to listen to the legendary team of Sonny, Sam, and Frank.
Come on, guys! Come on! Bruin, come on, guys, really!
I wish I could tell you that I found it.
It was emailed to me by...
I have to wait for the microphone.
That's
somebody works here.
That's not a little detail. Come on!
That's how they handle stuff.
Jeez, that makes me mad.
That's how they handle it, Mike.
Oh, you would think.
That is mm-hmm. frustrating. Really, that is just frustrating for me. I have nothing to do with that end of this radio operation, but man, that's annoying.
Yeah. So how about somebody from WJFK? Because they got to be in damage control now from our radio station.
They should be.
And, unless they think that they'll just put their heads in the sand and that this will all go away.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, isn't it amazing, though, what it is that they're willing to put their heads in the sand about? When it comes to the content of this show, the head comes out of the sand.
Oh, yeah. Immediately. Immediate reaction.
Right.
And you've already heard the commercial. The commercials are okay. Mm-hmm. Dirty commercials are okay. They're okay to be played as long as they're played when a sponsor buys them.
Mm-hmm.
If Michael or I play the commercial to spotlight on a new advertiser or a favorite advertiser, we can't be repetitive,
right,
even though they're repetitive in the ad.
Right. Exactly.
Come on, guys. You got a mess going on here. You got a mess. And here's the worst part. We're going to have fun with it now. We finally have the real angle for doing the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's still the same show.
Right.
There's still nothing that says that we can't spotlight the stupidity of those that we work for.
Get that website fixed, whoever does
might
that.
Might be a good idea.
This is just a PR move.
I mean, I know that there are, you know, there's a person here that probably talks to a person at a web company. That's how it works.
I'll tell you exactly what you do. And this is the first step in damage control. What you do is you put a picture of Frank Herzog, the play-by-play guy that you just fired. You put him on the home page. And you say, WJFK wishes the best to Frank Herzog, who's been the announcer for 3 Super Bowls, whose legendary commentary, blah, 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 blah. Even if you don't mean it, you put it up there.
Yeah, just out of respect.
It's
for the fans and for Frank.
It's the decent thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want anything to do with it. And I don't know. And I know Larry feels awful about it.
I think, yeah, he's in a very, very difficult
place. Larry Michael, the guy who got the job, on one hand, I'm sure he feels great, and I've not spoken to him.
Right.
I'm just pontificating here. He feels great because he got the job. On the other hand, he can't like having his picture in the newspaper as being public enemy number one.
No, he can't like that at all.
So
it's the way you handle stuff.
I asked Larry to come on this show today and take phone calls from people.
Mm-hmm.
Larry doesn't know if he feels comfortable with that.
Well, yeah, you gave both Frank and Larry the opportunity. Probably neither one of them would feel comfortable taking phone calls.
Well, that's too bad.
It is.
That's too bad. I'd love to have them on to talk about it. Anyway, great going, guys.
Mm-hmm. That website, that website's amazing.
Great going. I bet, you know what, we
deal with it. Deal with it now.
How much you want to bet?
I won't.
What you want?
Hey, what do you want to make a little wager with it'll be up tomorrow?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to bet against
it. No, I'm not.
No, who would?
Who wants to bet that the station will do at least, I don't want to say the right thing, but at this point, the station will realize damage control, that people can go into a station-sanctioned website and read that this guy's the best broadcaster. Oh, and I got another one for you, too, as long as we're on the topic. I'm afraid I'm going to have to bring this up.
Mm-hmm.
On many, many radio stations that are owned by Infinity and Clear Channel, all these companies that say the zero indecency,
right,
how many station websites am I going to go to? And am I going to see ass of the day, thong of the day,
right,
hot babe of the day, topless babe of the day?
The city's best MILF.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen them too.
I mean, again, it's the double standard.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to come down and they're going to kick Howard off a bunch of radio stations, but they're going to keep that content on their website.
Sure.
Right. And
give me a break.
Really, just get it together. I mean, if you're going to beat the... You're dealing with reaction. During this, maybe just a little consistency. Maybe a little foresight.
Try to stay ahead of that.
Yeah.
And listen, if you're going to fire a guy... In the midst of all of this, and you're going to be pressure on yourself, at least be bright enough. I mean, go rent the movie Wag the Dog. You know, learn how to spin a situation.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, be proactive. Don't hide back there in your office. You fired Frank Herzog. Say you fired him. I sure do know when you were going to fire Mike and I, there was no worry that, oh, how are we going to present it? Or
there was a little worry about even the suspension, wasn't there? Yeah.
Yeah, but what I mean was, it was immediate.
The decision?
Yeah.
Bingo!
Yeah. Right.
Bam!
And there was no finesse there either. So I guess Frank's getting just what we got, too.
Yeah, I think that's the way it goes.
No finesse. Let's talk to somebody from outside D.C. Here is Matthew in Buffalo on WBUF. Matthew.
Hey, Don. Mike, how's it going, man?
Hi.
Hey, dude. Yeah, you ever heard of Van Miller, Don?
Of course. Is it WGR?
That would be correct.
Yeah, right, in Buffalo. Yeah, right.
He
voice of the Buffalo Bills.
Absolutely. Calls the games and
Not this past, the season before last, he said that next season would be his last season, being last season, if that makes any sense.
See, that's how you do it. You call the guy in and you say, hey, dude, we're going to fire you, so why don't you announce it's going to be your last season?
Mm-hmm. Right. And it was nice. It was nice. His last game that he called, passed the baton to the next guy, and, it was a nice way to go, you know what I'm saying?
You can even make promotional hay out of a deal like that.
See, that's how you do it. If you're smart, that's how you do it. And correct me, because I don't know anything about the Buffalo football fan except what I see on TV. People aren't pissed that the one guy's gone and the new guy is there, right?
No, it was like a nice way. I mean, the guy's, he's getting real old. He's with doing it for like 30 years. So it was nice the way that he passed it down to the next guy, and it made you feel as if you didn't want to look somewhere
else. Well, I should also point out, in that circumstance, you may have a circumstance where it was his choice and it wasn't the choice of the radio station.
But
that happens, that happens with a lot of these old guys too, these legendary guys, because they really realize the sanctity of that and they don't make that move.
But why wouldn't you at least call Frank in and say, we're going to can you?
No, I'm totally agreeing with you. I'm saying,
let's give you the
Van Miller thing. Yeah, that could have happened.
You know, they could say, Jesus, you just don't call the guy in and fire him and expect that people aren't going to say anything about it.
Exactly.
Come on. Where's the statement? How come Alan's not coming in here to say something? We're addressing this on the radio station where he fired the guy.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to know.
He won't come in. He's afraid. He's very afraid. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. Hey. I just wanted to let you know, Mike said that you listen to those guys out of necessity. And I, as bad as WJFK signal is in my area, I, stand on top of the TV with wires all over the place trying to get them on the radio.
Well, I know a lot of people. You're absolutely right. You know, and I what I was saying is the vast majority of people, though, when you're listening to a radio cast of a sporting event, you're going to watch it on television. A lot of people turn the sound down and turn up Sonny, Sam, and Frank. But the people listen when they're not watching it on TV also. That's when a lot of people listen to that. But I know people did that.
You're both right. Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello.
I did it.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
What's up, guys?
Sorry. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air. Turn your radio down.
Alright, dude, here's what I got for you guys.
Yeah. Hey, John, and just called to talk to my allies.
Alright, hi, Don and Mike show. I don't know.
Yeah.
He was left over from the old show.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike. Jerry.
Don.
Jerry.
I think that it's horrible what they've done to our boy Frank. The Washington Redskins and Frank Herzog just kind of go together. And besides, he was the only sober one in the booth.
I knew that guy was going to pull that up.
But I couldn't disagree with him. Hello.
Right.
Don and Mike, last call. Hello. Tony.
Yeah. Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hey.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, first-time caller. Bear with me. A little off the subject, though, but did you know the station let, on a rap show Saturday night, let the N-word go twice and the F-bomb one time, clean as a whistle?
On our station?
Yes, it did.
We're playing music?
Yeah, it was.
It's the double standard.
Yeah.
You can do it if you play music. You can't do
really?
It if you talk.
Well, I think you can prove a lot of.
That's the general standard in society.
The way it seems always to been. Be the way it's going right now.
I didn't know because I'm driving and I'm listening to it as a rap song. It was El Jefe something, Hideout or whatever.
I don't know.
Clean as a whistle. Just no blip, no nothing. Clean as a whistle.
Well, I would urge you to call your congressman, sir.
I shall.
That's right. What I would urge you to do. Call your congressman.
Everybody's listening carefully.
Call your congressman. And we've got some tapes now of the guy, Hogan! From Clear Channel when he was up, bending over for Congress.
Right.
And we've got some of these old Congress people. You know, here's one good thing about all this legislation that they wanted to pass.
Yes.
They're saying that it might not be over for 4 years.
Right.
I have a real strong sense that most of the people that are fighting this won't be alive in 4 years.
Yeah.
Based on...
I'm pretty out of touch, too.
Based on what I've heard. Load this in for a second. You just got to hear some of these guys. You got to give me... Where's Lowell Paxson? Cut 29. This guy is the funniest of all of them. Testifying before Congress. He wants everything squeaky clean.
Now, who is he?
He owns PAX TV.
Okay, very good.
Ah, yeah. So you know where this guy's coming from.
Sure.
He runs
it's his opportunity to make a little hay.
Right. He runs the Waltons. Nobody watches it,
right,
but he runs the Waltons.
Bow to their capricious whims.
Oh.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hi, dude.
I believe the fine should be set at whatever limit you all determine, but the timing of the FCC action to complete the first process is more important.
Who is the guy clearing his throat?
Wow.
This is the guy from PAX TV.
Hold on. Cut. What's in it? 29?
Yeah.
20. Oh, here he is. Here he is. Is that what we just heard?
I believe the fine should be set at whatever limit you all determine, but the timing of the FCC actions to complete the first process is more important.
You know, and just for the congressmen that are holding these hearings, please, when you're having somebody testify, please pull the microphone away when you're done speaking so you don't have to hear the...
let's see. Hold on a second. Give me a chance to find...
Can they find anyone for expectoration?
Watch out, Rob. That might be, that might be deemed indecent.
Yeah. All right, now, Mike, I'm sorry. You and I have all going to have discussions about artistic expression.
Mm-hmm.
Here is a... congressman, whatever. What are they? They're
congressmen.
Yeah, from California, Christopher Cox.
All right.
No jokes, please.
This issue for me is not really about what people get to say in public or in private. When it comes to artistic expression, or even just entertainment that its authors would never claim aspires to art, I'm a libertarian. I don't want the government to dictate what Americans can say in public or in private.
Wow. Hey, good.
Hello.
Good for you.
Not hearing enough of that.
There's one guy on our side. And then we go immediately to the other side. Lowell Paxson from PAX TV. Talking about porn. Talking about... Now, listen, if this issue has not hit home with you yet, with us talking about what's happening with radio,
right?
Listen to this guy talking about your porn,
okay,
that you watch at home.
No one sitting in this room can tell me it is in the public interest that cable and satellite providers use the public's spectrum and public right-of-ways to pipe indecent and obscene material into American living rooms at all hours of the day without any constraints or limitations.
Hmm. And that, I don't know about you, but that's how it's coming in my house.
Mm-hmm.
I got to shut the windows and shut the doors because the porn is coming in from everywhere. I just can't stop it. And, Mike, finally, from Congress, how do you fix it? How do you fix this?
Yeah. How to prevent and fix this pervasive evil?
Yes.
Empower the FCC.
Oh.
Enact legislation. If necessary, have an amendment to the Constitution.
There's another amendment.
You are the lawmakers. You represent the people who own the airwaves and the rights of way.
Idiot.
You can do it.
There he is.
Idiot.
That's today's update.
Oh, my God.
Well, no, he benefits from this.
Well, I know, but he's still an idiot.
With his network.
Okay, but
nobody will ever watch that network.
Do you want to hear the guy from Clear Channel?
Sure.
John Hogan. This is the guy who's run... Stern Show, Bubba the Love Sponge, for years. Run it for years. I did some research on this guy. He didn't just get the job last week.
He's been there for a while.
He just, as a matter of fact, you might be interested to know that just 8 months ago, he gave a 5-year contract extension to Bubba the Love Sponge,
okay,
the guy that he just fired.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what he has to say about that.
So if the orchestra is playing...
I'm sorry, that's Billy Crystal.
Here we go. I'm embarrassed to be here. I've read the transcripts of the Bubba radio show. As a broadcaster, as the CEO, and as the father of a 9-year-old girl...
Yeah, you're a stand-up guy.
I'm ashamed to be associated in any way with those words.
Why'd you give him a new 5-year contract 8 months ago?
Yeah, there was content like that before.
I'm embarrassed to be here. I've read the transcripts of the Bubba radio show.
Uh-huh.
As a broadcaster, as the CEO, and as the father of a 9-year-old girl, I'm ashamed to be associated in any way with those words.
She's ashamed of her father today.
They're tasteless.
Should be.
They're vulgar. They should not, do not, and will not represent what our radio stations are all about.
Really? Is that true, Mr. Hogan?
Hogan!
All right, hold on a second. When is this? Here he is. He's got some great ideas, this guy Hogan from Clear Channel.
The first element of the initiative is company-wide training. This will entail indecency tutorials on what the FCC does not permit broadcasters to air.
Good heavens, no.
And I'd like to know, exactly when did those tutorials start?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd like to know that, too.
When did they start? This week?
Home study.
Last week? When did they do it? And what does it involve?
And hold on.
Sounds good.
Here's one more with this guy from Clear Channel Broadcasting, Hogan.
I hope that the subcommittee will understand that the Bubbas of the world and the Howard Sterns of the world are the exception rather than the rule. And that they will no longer have a platform on our stations.
Hey, dude.
Yeah, and
I checked.
And the other shows that aspire to be the Howards and the Bubbas.
I got news for you. You got a bunch of shows that aspire to be the next Howard and Bubbas.
A bunch.
That you're still running.
You created the culture, guys. You created the environment, guys. You hired us to do this. Hypocrites.
And here we go. Hold on a second. Blah, 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 blah. All right, that's... you want to hear... Oh, God, I'll end with Dingleberry.
Okay.
Because I don't even know what he has to say, but I love him. Because he represents the other side in this fight.
Right.
Because he's so old.
Whether raising the maximum penalty beyond the $275,000 per violation originally proposed...
What?
...and compelling the FCC to refer revocation proceedings...
What?
What? Licenses of repeat offenders.
Yes.
And removing the presumption of license renewals from these licensees that violate the indecent rules.
Let me ask you, do you know your address, sir? Do you know your telephone number?
Well, there's another example of the climate we're living in right now.
There you go.
Fascinating.
Oh, and hold on.
The guy from Clear Channel makes me mad.
Do you want to hear one more with him?
Sure.
On new contracts for DJs?
Right.
Congratulations. This is Max Joy Jr., Jethro Bodine from the Beverly Hillbillies.
There it is.
Just won the,
you got it out of the way.
CBS Celebrity Burp Contest.
Got a break. We'll be right back, everybody. You won.
Actually, I'm trying to talk to Mugatu, but he's tougher to get to than the president.
Oh, thought you were going to tell me what a bad Yagoogalizer I am.
A what?
A Yagoogalizer? One who speaks at funerals? Or did you think I'd be too stupid to know what a Yagoogly was?
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Right. Hey.
Treasure.
Hi there.
Don and Mike.
We got one more. We're just going to make this a daily thing rather than continue to play you these tapes over and over of the idiots at Congress.
I mean,
right. We're going to have an advertiser of the day. We've now decided that this is the congressperson of the day.
Very good.
Oh, excellent. The guy who we believe makes the most sense.
Oh, excellent.
And he's not even talking about our show. He's talking about the Stern Show.
Okay.
His name is Greg Walden.
Walden.
He's a Republican from Oregon.
Very good.
You're Don and Mike, FCC, representative of the day.
You've taken Howard Stern off of your stations, the Clear Channel stations. Who actually controls Howard Stern's contract? Who does he work for?
Ultimately, he works for Viacom.
So we get back to Mel Karmazin. Could take the same steps on... Is Howard Stern on CBS stations?
Yes, he is on CBS stations, sir.
Okay. That's something to flag.
That's something to flag. There you go. Like I said, a lot of you guys didn't understand last week when I made the comment about taping the disc jockey that works for Clear Channel. You got to hear that the guy that's the CEO of Clear Channel...
Yeah, saying he's throwing us under the bus.
Mm-hmm. They're selling our company out. Anyway, we'll get on track here, Mike. We're still waiting to hear from Frank Herzog.
Okay.
He may come on the show to take your phone calls.
That'd be nice if he did that. I'd like to hear from Frank.
But Larry, we're still offering you the opportunity to come in and chat with people as well. You're going to love this, Mike. We have a special feature today.
Good.
Name that not-so-famous Asian, and you will be able to play along with everybody else.
You know I love the games that I can play with the people at home.
Yeah.
But the thing that we've not gotten to yet today, we've touched on it briefly, was the Oscars.
Mm.
And we had spent a lot of time talking about Billy Crystal and the entire BS about how he's got to plan thousands of jokes. And
well, the Billy Crystal hype machine leading up to the Oscars was in full... regalia.
This takes up every second of his waking moment to make this broadcast, and no one understands the pressure.
I mean, if you didn't know that Billy Crystal put hours and hours and hours into his preparation to host a television show for one night,
mm-hmm.
he'll let you know.
Yeah,
he'll let you know exactly what's going on.
He tells you. And you know, I had a come to Jesus meeting. This is a sidebar of my own over the weekend when I was thinking about the problems that we're having on the radio show,
mm-hmm.
and the problems our industry is having.
Yeah.
And I realized that there are a lot of people out there who would trade their problems for our problems.
Sure.
In a moment. And of course, everybody knows that. But here's what crystallized it for me. I was watching.
Get it?
Yeah, I was going to say crystallized. Okay, I'm watching something on E, the Joan Rivers show.
Uh-huh.
And the red carpet show, something like that, before the red carpet. And they're doing an interview with Russell Crowe.
Okay.
Who I generally think is okay. He's a good actor. He's kind of an ass. But mm-hmm.
Well, he's supposed to be a.
Who isn't?
Rather temperamental guy. Gets in a lot of bar fights. So, I don't have any problem with that.
He's discussing how tough it is to be Russell Crowe.
Mm-hmm.
How tough it is to be under the paparazzi's eye. And he says...
Very tough to be me.
And I quote, he says, do you realize if I wanted to ask a certain girl to marry me, that the paparazzi are around me so much that they would take away my chance to have my human experience with this girl one-on-one. They have robbed this from me and taken this from my soul.
Well, fly to a special secret island and do it that way, Russell.
Well,
Russell Crowe!
My whole thought was, hey, listen, dude, anytime you want to give up being Russell Crowe,
but I mean, really,
and just be one of us,
okay.
Trust me, you could propose to 25 girls in one day and nobody's going to pay any attention.
Well, the funny thing about it is what it becomes for these people is it's what they crave, it's what they work for.
Sure.
They want the attention, they want the stardom, they want the adulation. And then, you know, I would imagine the first time they become a little bit famous and they walk in and they get spotted, it's got to be the most thrilling thing in the world. And then when it gets to a certain point, they're saying, I didn't know it was going to be like this.
Yeah.
I didn't know I couldn't go grocery shopping.
So I was getting mad at Russell Crowe, and then I was thinking, well, how dumb of me.
But by that point, they have millions.
Yeah, how dumb of me to worry about our problems. There are people out there who must hear us and think, God, I would trade positions with you guys in a minute. And I just want
to we dealt with our problems. We're doing our show. That's what we're doing.
For those of you out there who think that, I just want to say, you're absolutely right. You would change positions with us
sure.
in a minute.
Absolutely.
That's how sweet we got it.
Uh-huh.
Even under these conditions.
Russell Crowe.
Even under.
And he didn't post, right? He didn't show up for the Oscars.
He was not there. Now, a good setup for Billy Crystal sucking at the Oscars this year was the Barbara Walters special,
mm-hmm.
in which they delved into all the things that go into Billy Crystal making the Oscars what they are.
Yeah, and you know, really, if you believe his, he must have publicists that are just the greatest in the world, because you just have this spin machine that he is this legendary performer.
Here's the first one that I love.
Is this Billy talking about Billy?
Yeah, Billy on Billy.
I love Billy on Billy.
Talking about comedy and
the serious business of comedy?
Yeah, and a joke that was for Rob Reiner,
uh-huh.
a joke he did on television. Billy Crystal, who is funny and has to tell you why he's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
So if the orchestra is playing and they're excited to see you, there's sort of nothing like the juice you get when you walk out.
We met up again a few weeks ago at the Kodak Theater, where Billy reminisced with me about Oscar's past.
I was supposed to introduce Hal Roach. And Hal was 100 years old. And he was just supposed to get up and wave.
There's no microphone over there. Mr. Roach is thanking the audience, I'm sure, for his...
There was a clip. So I introduced him, and Mr. Roach started talking. Everyone was so uncomfortable, because he was this great gentleman.
Give you the setup. The clip they're running is he's hosted the
he
Academy
Awards. Roach is supposed to just wave, and he's older than dirt.
And what he does is he stands up and he starts to speak, and there's an old guy in the audience who's speaking, and there's no microphone by him.
Right.
So this is the dilemma, the comic dilemma that faces Billy Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
He has said hello to someone in the audience who stood up and is starting to speak, and the audience can't hear him.
Mm-hmm.
So if the orchestra is playing and they're excited to...
Fast forward to Robbie. I'm sorry, I hit the wrong button there.
Sort of nothing that you knew.
Because that's the setup. You got to see the guy
mm-hmm.
just standing there.
He was 100 years old. And he was just supposed to get up and wave.
There's no microphone over there. Mr. Roach is thanking the audience, I'm sure, for their warm wishes.
So I introduced him, and Mr. Roach started talking. Everyone was so uncomfortable because he was this great gentleman.
I think that's fitting because Mr. Roach started in silent film.
It's one of my proudest moments as a comedian. And then I made a gesture really for Rob.
For Rob.
Home and go, ooh, fastball. like right on the outside corner. And we used to talk that way about jokes, you know, in baseball terms.
Wow.
Fastball.
I'm gonna barf. Just replay the last 10 seconds where he says,
"Oh God."
So I said the joke, and listen,
it's not taking yourself so seriously. I hate it. It's not like a joke that you would put in your
don't
all-time
they hear themselves
best.
To throw away.
Don't they hear themselves?
No, I guess not.
Doesn't Billy Crystal, who I mean, is it really comes from a background of comedy? Doesn't he hear himself in how
no,
pompous this sounds?
He's become Mr. Saturday Night.
Really?
He's become our new Jerry Lewis.
We used to talk about it in baseball.
Ooh, with Rob.
Oh, here we go. Oh, great. Hold on.
I made a gesture really for Rob Reiner at home and go, ooh, fastball. Like right on the outside corner. And we used to talk that way about jokes, you know, in baseball terms.
All right, I got one about a priest, a rabbi, and a monk. It's a double. It's a double. It might be a triple if you push it a little bit. I've got some Bush in Iraq stuff I want to say. I believe it's a sacrifice bunt.
This could be a single.
You're going to use it to get a single. You go in with the Cheney joke. I'm telling you, you do this right, sassball, baby. Come on, you two idiots. This is worse than Jay Leno having meetings with Jerry Seinfeld about what's funny.
Absolutely.
So Billy describes this. At the presentation, here you go. Here's the part.
Right there.
Here comes
the first clip you've played is fantastic.
The presentation here will speak for itself. You're going to hear how Billy has an NFL-like encyclopedia of jokes. And keep it, especially if you watched the show last night. Think about the fact that he's going to tell you he has thousands of jokes on computer and people standing on the sidelines willing to help him figure out what the right joke is. So here we go. Billy Crystal and his comedy computer.
You've said that 1992 was the greatest Academy Award night for you, but you were sick. You had pneumonia.
Yeah, I was very sick.
You almost didn't do the show.
Yeah, I came here. I didn't think I was going to go on.
Like all great performers, Billy.
With some stuff and went out and did the show, and it turned out to be
great.
Very special.
You're like Michael Jordan.
Once won for City Slickers.
For instance, you know, you go out there and you do these.
Jack Palance doing the one-handed thing.
Now that was a moment.
Yeah,
I'll always remember that moment.
Yeah.
It was a great moment. And had nothing to. And he also had a comment about Billy Crystal that I'll remember.
The greatest setup in the history of the Oscars. I still thank him. Jack Palance just bungee jumped off the Hollywood sign.
How many jokes do you write?
Here we go.
In advance.
Oh, thousands.
Thousands. How many do you use?
I don't know. 50, 60.
You have to memorize 1,000 jokes?
Yeah, pretty much. Or get incredibly familiar with them. What we do is almost like
hold on.
Football.
Hold on. Hold on.
Liar.
Oh, I just passed the spot. Because now he's going to tell you how they do it like a football team. Hold on. Give me a second. I got to go back.
I wish comedians like a football playbook where you have options and things that'll happen.
If this one wins, I'll do that.
I can do that. If this one wins, I can do that. And now we put them all on a computer, so in case, you know, whoever wins it, give me those, and then I pick the one that I like the best, and I go out there and do it.
So not only is it like baseball, it's like football.
Yeah. So in other words, he's sitting back there with a guy at a computer, and Charlize Theron wins for Best Actress, and they spit out all the Charlize Theron jokes, and then he goes and he runs out there and does
it. It's like,
you know, if you're doing that, even if you are doing that, don't tell us you're doing that.
It's Bruce Valanche, who's normally the head writer for this, that big fat guy who's off stage, and can you imagine?
Is that the guy that does, is that his head writer?
Well,
The same one that writes for Whoopi Goldberg?
I know that Bruce Valanche writes for a lot of the award shows.
Right.
I'm not sure
he uses David Steinberg a lot.
Does he really?
He did this year.
But, you know, here's the deal. Once again, I don't care what. I don't doubt for a second that he's getting somebody back there with a computer that's handing him jokes.
The bit about memorizing 1,000 jokes?
No.
All right,
no,
Billy,
no.
Hold on. Billy, listen. We have got a total left field winner. Sean Penn won. I know we didn't think
you'd... You know, here's the deal, though.
Because it's politics. Billy, here's what we've got. A, we got the Madonna joke. B, we got the joke about Fast Times. C, we got the joke about the war. And D, we've just got the Sean Penn's goofy joke. What do you think, Billy? What's your call, Billy?
Go with this one. Go out there.
All right, Billy.
Team. Joke B.
From the playbook.
Well, they were handing in the wrong audibles last night.
Yeah.
And Billy, your movies suck. What about that, Billy?
People know you from the show, but they also know you from your films. And you've had some unforgettable ones, and you've had some.
Everybody does. Everybody does.
Yeah, no, stop, stop. He can't handle this.
No.
You can tell by this because he's just, this is, she's being Barbara Walters.
Mm-hmm. Everybody does.
You know,
everybody
he didn't expect this.
And listen to how he handles when they bring up Analyze This. He's very, very forthcoming with how he thinks.
And his good friend, Bob.
Oh, is that what he says? Does he say Bob?
Of course it's Bob.
Bob, of course.
Of course, Bruce. It's Bob. Yes, it's Bob.
The people know you from the show, but they also know you from your films. And you've had some unforgettable ones. And you've had some...
Everybody does. Everybody does.
From City Slickers, which was 1991, to Analyze This. You made some films, but it was kind of a drought.
You know, there was a period of the films just didn't... do well. That shook me pretty good.
Oh, did it?
And makes you think, what the hell is going on here?
You stink,
and
Billy.
Why are they not coming? What is it? Me? Is it the subject?
Yes.
Is it the pairing?
Yes.
Is it what? What is it? And then Analyze This happens with, and Bob and I are suddenly this great comedy team. But it also
passed. Yeah, go back. Listen to what he says about himself.
Yeah. Bob and I are suddenly this great comedy team. But
he throws it away.
Also points out what's most important in your life.
He and Bob are a team.
Back it up again. Yeah, because
it's great. He talks about. He just says, "I'm great." Okay, now you might have been able to and analyze it in different ways. Analyze this. He is just saying to America, "I'm
Bob."
Great.
He and Bob are a great team.
This great comedy team.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. They were on the first movie, right?
Yeah, they were all right.
But has there been a groundswell of public emotion now saying we must have Bob and Billy together again?
I mean,
we don't get to call him Bob? How come he's still Robert De Niro to us?
You say comedy team, think of someone with a history. I mean, not the ancient, but like Martin Lawrence.
You gotta be very, very simple about it. The fact is he is calling himself great.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's listen again.
What is it? And then Analyze This happens with, and Bob and I are suddenly this great comedy team. But, it also points up what's most important in your life. If your home life is good, that's what gets you through it, and that's ultimately what is most important.
Sure.
You've had some sadness in your life the last couple of years, too. Your mom passed away.
Is she trying to get him to cry now?
Yeah, he does.
Is this the traditional Barbara Walters
trying to get him to cry?
Give me the baby sound effect, though.
Okay. We got to have that.
Which of your accomplishments was she most proud of?
My marriage and my kids.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you make her laugh?
Oh, yeah. We all did. My brothers and I, she was our audience. You know, my dad died when I was 15. So she...
Poor Billy's had it rough
again. So it threw me into...
Come on, Billy.
The hardest period and the saddest and darkest time that I can remember. Didn't feel funny. You just sort of lose that... What's funny now? What's possible?
This is funny. Let's explain the shape of you.
This is funny.
This baby.
The grandchild. Knowing that there's new life and new fun and new...
It's... First time... There's a lot of hope. Darn, I didn't want this to happen.
Do you know...
There's Billy Crystal.
A very sweet thing to cry about.
Well, because she's a symbol of the new beginning.
You're killing me.
And happy things.
You are killing me. That's the best baby cry in the world. That is the best.
Mr. Billy Crystal. So now
gosh.
Now that you've heard all of that.
Well, they ramp it up on Barbara Walters on ABC getting ready to, get the show to come on.
We got a mystery guest. I just want to play one joke, though. One joke.
Incidentally, you know, you don't use it a lot, and that's why I'm laughing, because we don't use our baby crying sound effect very often when somebody's getting emotional.
Right. Now, you've heard all of the build-up. You've heard all of the build-up about how he's got a computer, and he's got a warrant for months and months and months.
Hey, Billy Crystal, that's funny.
So here it now, here is a joke. From there's no
one of the thousands.
From the playbook?
Do we have our insect friends standing by?
I don't think we need them. Okay. I believe that our silence will speak enough.
Very
anyway,
good.
Here he is, Billy Crystal, joke time.
We are back. I'm delighted to be here. It's been 4 years since I've been here. The Academy and the Oscars have been very gracious to me and sort of let me come and go as I please the last few years. It's kind of like being in the Texas National Guard. So it's really been nice for me. All right.
That was it. You just missed it. That's the highlight.
Wow.
That was the joke.
That's strong.
That's where he had the meeting with the guys off stage and said, well, which one do you think we should go with? And they ended up saying,
go with the George Bush didn't serve in the military.
You know, I had to watch the whole show, which is one of the blessings of my job. I really did count about 12 jokes from Billy Crystal, outside of all his planned bits.
Right.
But and of these thousands of jokes, I counted about 12.
12. We've not even started to hear what he hangs his hat on.
Mm-hmm.
The opening song and dance.
Oh my God, that was painful.
This, you know, and you know, I will give him credit that in years past, it has been funny.
It has been much funnier.
It has been funny. Mm-hmm.
But last night, man, I don't know. It was a combination of, speaking of sick, last night I thought he was ill.
It sounded to me like he wanted to do that an awful lot.
Absolutely. I thought, you know, because they talked about the year that he came on and he had pneumonia.
Right.
I really thought that he was ill last night because of the delivery. He wasn't on.
All of the Hobbit costumes are on sale at the House of DeVito, in case anybody wants them out.
That's another one of the jokes, though. That's one of the jokes. All of the costumes from Lord of the Rings are available at House of DeVito. Now, Billy, here's my question for you, and stop crying about your mom. Was that A, B, C, or D under the Lord of the Rings computer for your jokes?
Uh-huh.
You putz.
More Billy.
More Billy, and you're going to hear him sing.
And we have more tapes of him
talking. Tapes of him talking about how hard it is to be Mr. Billy Crystal.
And of course, more of that fabulous baby sound.
Mike, put your thinking cap on.
Mm-hmm.
You, along with everybody in the audience, gets to play for a fabulous prizes now with Name That Not-So-Famous Asian.
Fascinating.
We'll play that right after this.
Is the Don and Mike Show. WKK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Denny.
Hi, Uncle Bill.
My nephew from Hong Kong.
Hi, Tian. Good moves. You're number one.
You're the Hong Kong champion. My neighbor, Denny Chen. Hey, shouldn't you be in school?
The Don and Mike Show. They are Icelandic cowboys. In the West, Don and Mike.
I've got so much more to get to still. We're going to try to call the general manager here in a second to get his thoughts on what's happening with his radio station.
Very good.
We've got a phone scan I hope we can get to. Buzz's news is still to come today. Lots of Billy. A time now, though, for Name That Not-So-Famous Asian.
Not-So-Famous. You're confusing me.
Let me rephrase it, Mike. Time for Not Famous at All Asian.
Oh.
However, memorable. Buzz, you want to play?
Sure.
This is like the other games.
Mm-hmm.
You can ask this person, the mystery Asian, you can ask this not-so-famous Asian anything except his or her name and exactly what they do for a living.
All right. Okay.
I'll give you 20 questions. Sign in, or just say hello, not-so-famous Asian.
Hello, how are you?
Mike, go ahead.
Not-so-famous Asian.
And, yeah, guys, listen, you can also call at 800-636-1067 from Canada, from the United States. Shame on me, it's always United States first.
Yes.
877-365-3636. Mike.
Not-so-famous Asian, have you ever been on this show before?
Yes.
Buzz.
Ah, not-so-famous Asian, were you an intern with this show?
No.
No, it's not Nick Joe.
So it's not Nick Joe, which is my first guess.
Had to ask. Buzz and Mike.
Not-so-famous Asian, have you ever been on television?
Yes.
Yes, to Buzz.
Not-so-famous Asian, do you prefer fat chicks?
No.
No, okay. I know who you're thinking
of. Who was that?
But,
who was
you that? But you wouldn't know that.
That was our old, remember the guy, the Asian guy?
Yeah, who was the guy? Did we have a name for
forgotten
him?
Forgotten his name.
John Kim.
John Kim,
that's
John
right.
John Kim Show.
John Kim.
Right. Not right. So famous Asian. You say you've been on television. Would you be on national television or local television?
Both.
Both. Buzz.
Not so famous Asian. Have you been on a reality TV show?
Reality? No.
Mike, one more, and then we're going to open up
not so famous
listeners play.
Then I'll give you some better hints, yeah.
Not so famous Asian, you wouldn't be the guy that was that went out for American Idol, would you?
No, good guess, though, Mike.
Famous. The answer is no.
That guy, incidentally, John Hung, or what's his name, Robbie?
William Hung.
He would qualify
that bad.
as a famous Asian.
Okay, well.
I can't go she bangs that bad, no.
But
not so famous Asian is talking a blue streak. Not so famous Asian, have you starred in a TV commercial?
No.
Okay.
All right, let's go to the telephones.
Yeah,
you guys are stumped?
Mm-hmm.
You got to remember the setup. Not so famous Asian.
And then you said not famous at all. And then the Asian said on television.
He has some notoriety. You'll understand when you figure out who it is.
Sure.
Hello, here's Jay in Kansas. Jay, go ahead. Let's play Name That Not So Famous Asian.
Is it Margaret Chow?
No, it's not Margaret.
And it's Margaret Show, not Margaret Chow.
Do I sound like a woman?
And you got to ask a question.
Is the phone connection that bad?
Hello, Alan. Welcome to Not So Famous Asian. Ask a question.
Okay, is it Rupert from the Hello Dilly?
I may wish I were, but I'm not.
How come people don't understand the concept of you have to ask a question?
Even if you have a guess, ask a question first. And then go ahead with your
guess. The next person to simply guess will be yelled at.
And let me also say, remember, the name of the game is Name That Not-So-Famous Asian.
Right.
I would say, no offense to our Asian guest, Rupert G.
More famous?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
That's
any not in my show. Steven.
Any offense taken?
Steven.
Would it happen to be Donger?
Hey, all right. What have we just said? All right, you have to at least ask a fake question.
Right.
Ask the guy a question.
Play the game.
What's wrong with people? I don't care if you say, is your favorite color blue? And the guy says yes. Then you say, you know, is it whoever?
Right.
Okay. Kirk. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Has he worn a lab coat?
Have you worn a lab coat?
Have I worn a lab coat?
That's three times now we've had the question asked.
I have worn a lab coat.
Answer is yes.
Hmm.
Is it the famous Dr. Fad Ken Hakuta?
Wow! Wow! A long time.
Winner.
Long time.
Mike, how could you not remember me?
I totally remember you, Dr. Fat. I remember your wall walkers.
You know what I've done with you? We went to the 7-Eleven on a shopping spree.
Right.
And there. I was on your, way back then, with both of you, Don and Mike, I was on your TV show.
Right.
Yes. Oh, my
TV show?
God, I wow. feel so embarrassed
not
that
so
I remember.
Famous Asian is Ken Hakuta.
He is
I won?
Yes, he's known as Dr. Fad.
Dr. Fad.
He markets fads.
That's
amazing.
You've been pivotal in many little events of my life, like, you know, once when I was a 60 Minutes, you were the first ones to have me on air.
There was this guy, if you are a longtime listener of our show, Dr. Fad, and I'm going back, the day was on our show, he invented this thing called the wall walker, which looked like an octopus.
Oh, yeah.
Made out of plastic.
I remember that.
You whip it against the wall.
And
it
walks down the wall.
Those are fun. And Dr. Fad, didn't you make like $1 million on that?
Many millions, yeah.
Wow.
Which is how I have not worked for many years.
Our winner, Kirk. Kirk, where are you from?
Stafford.
So, Kirk, had you heard him on our old Morning Zoo show?
I have actually seen Dr. Fad's show back when I was about 10 years old. I had Wacky Wall Walkers.
There you go.
I tell you what, it was my very first guest. The very second he said hi, I said, that's Ken Hakuta.
And wow. Back in the day.
Thank you.
Dr. Fad, didn't you even turn that into a network TV show for a while?
Yes, that's right. There was a Dr. Fad show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a kid's invention show. And it may get resurrected. You know how things come back.
So listen,
my wall walker, let me tell you a funny story. My wall walker, the Wacky Wall Walker,
right.
It's been inducted, talk about wacky, into the Smithsonian's collection of popular American culture.
Wow.
What's up,
there, next to Silly
He's in the house.
Congratulations, Dan.
Thanks to Mr. Rogers' sweater. No, seriously, I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Let me tell Kirk, the guy who figured out who you were. Kirk, we have a good prize for you, the Sopranos prize pack. And here's why you're going to like this. Both Mike and I got one of these. You get that nice robe. That nice.
Have you tried yours yet?
No, mine's still sitting on the desk.
I brought mine home and I tried it, and it's great. One size fits all. It's fantastic.
Saying you got to be a little slimmer to get into it?
No, it's actually a good one. It's actually very, very good.
It looks like a fancy one you get in a hotel.
It's got the Sopranos logo.
Cool. And other stuff. Don't forget the highly anticipated, no S Sherlock, season premiere of The Sopranos. Let me just say, finally, Sunday night at 9, 8 Central, only on HBO.
One size fits some.
Kirk, you've won that for figuring out who that not-so-famous Asian is. Thank you for listening. Hold on. So, Dr. Fad, you made your millions on the Wall Walkers. You had your Saturday morning kids show.
What else besides Wall Walkers, Ken?
Where are you now?
What am I doing now, huh?
Yes, where are they now? Where are you now?
All kinds of things. You know, I'm still looking for the best fads, you know. You know what I did? As you know, there were no good fads last holiday season, which is why FAO Schwartz, KB Toys, everybody went bankrupt, right?
Yeah.
I tried to buy FAO Schwartz from the slimy management that made it go under before.
Oh, really?
Oh, they were quite a case, you know.
Rob just went to your website, drfad.com.
Right, DRFAD, drfad.com, where you have more things about
exactly
the fads than you ever want to know, yeah.
You looked exactly the same. It's a picture of him sitting Indian style with a box of Fruit Loops and and a Mickey Mouse phone.
Besides, I was going to ask you, Ken, besides the Wall Walkers, anything else that you were attached to?
You know, I hate to say this, but, you know, fadsters are, you know, the Rock and Roll Museum in Cleveland, you have a whole section on one-hit wonders, you know?
Right, that you are one-hit
wonders. Bad people are one-hit wonders.
You're the Billy...
I've never had anything. I've had a...
Billy Don't Be a Hero.
...thing that sold like Wall Walkers, you know?
Right, okay. That's
and, you know, and...
You're the Lombada of the fad world.
The Lombada.
Or the Macarena.
You know, all fad people, like, look, the guy, the people did the Slinky, what else have they done? The Pet Rock guy, you ask him, you know, what have you done since then? And he lets out a scream, which is, you know, it's better than Howard Dean's scream, you know. That, you know, by the way, the Howard Dean doll, you know, that scream.
Right.
That's very good.
Is that
you screaming there?
No, that's actually the real guy. That's
Howard
the real
Dean.
Guy, Ken.
That was the best fad for about a week, you know.
Yeah. I see you still got your energy.
Well, you know, I try to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
how many years?
You guys bring back all kinds of memories. You know,
How many years has it been since we've had you on our show, Ken?
I don't know, a long time. But you know, for a while I was on regular. You know, I remember all these wacky things. Once I brought my friend's daughter, you know, and then you guys made big fun of her. I remember that. That was a long time ago.
That's a great story. I remember it as if it were yesterday.
Yeah, right.
I remember that time you brought the daughter, and
you apparently did something awful to her. You liking kids like Michael Jackson or something like that.
Well, you know what? What you did, Ken, is you brought the Wall Walkers in, and then after that I think you brought some other stuff in that was not nearly as good.
Yeah, but there were crazy stuff. People always send me a lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah. All right, well, bring it in sometime.
You know,
I'll do that.
I'm looking at the website, and I'd say the same thing. As I look at the website now, you're a grown man. You look happy. But I'd wonder, you know, I'd wonder, would I let my child spend any elongated time with Ken Hasuda?
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not saying
when they let me out, I'll go visit you guys. Yeah.
I'm not saying you're Michael Jackson or anything. Anyway, here he is, everybody. The not-so-famous Asian.
Ken Hakuta, Dr. Fad.
Wow. Mike and I will go to the 7-Eleven again.
We will. Inventor of the wacky Wall Walker.
You may not know, he also invented the cell phone.
Yes.
He also invented a fire. A post-it note.
Fire. And not Al Gore. I invented the internet, too. Okay.
And cooking oil.
Hold on. Here's a guy. Hold on. This is amazing. We have an actual question for Dr. Fad.
Wow.
I don't believe this. Mark.
Yes, sir.
This is a real question?
Yes, sir, it is. I am a frequenter of flea markets and yard sales, and I have about a dozen of the Wall Walkers, the wacky Wall Walkers, And I have ceased to make them be able to work. For some reason, that over time they lose their ability to do so. And I wanted to find out, how may I make them work again?
That is, you know what, I agree. Question. We've had them in
you
the
know,
office.
You wash them with soap and water and shake them dry. But if you have one of the knockoffs, they will not work again.
All right, so you can, with a real wall walker, Ken, can you bring it back to life by washing it with soap and water?
That's right. That's right. The fake ones.
Why would you want to?
A big splatter on your wall.
Hey, what is your?
How do I tell the real one? it has your name on it?
It's,
The real ones have a copyright on the radio. This radio is just too bad right now.
Hung up on both of them.
I just got Ken. He asked you a direct question.
I just hung up on both of them.
You had no choice. But now I remember why he was on the show 30 years ago or whatever the hell he was on.
15 years ago.
I mean, because that's what it would be. Lots of talking until you specifically would ask a question, then silence.
You know who else was on the show a lot back then? And we were thinking about him for a Where Is He Now segment.
Not Matthew Lesko.
Yeah. The guy with all the question marks.
Yeah.
Did you know that a family in Riverbend, New Jersey got $1 million to build a swimming pool from the government?
That's a headache. Yeah. It would make us suffer, but it might be worth it.
We used to have that dude on before he had his infomercial, too.
I will give Dr. Hakuta your best, and I'll invite everyone to go to his website and check out his content.
You know, it might be worth it to get Matthew Lesko back on. It's a headache for us, but it might be interesting for the listeners.
I don't know.
Here's what you can do with a federal grant.
God. No thanks.
No.
No thanks.
Whew.
What's his contest, Rob? He has some contest that he wanted to plug.
Yeah, he's searching for the next great American fad.
Yeah, you can find all your information at
drfad.com.
Right.
You know,
and let me just say, it's a very different fight. It's a very different site if you put a G on the end of that.
Yes.
Instead of
don't
G.
Go.
If you put a G on the end of that, you go to Dr. Fag, and it's a total different site.
Yeah. What's he doing with those wall walkers?
So there's some great toys.
They are wacky.
And if we get Matthew Lesko on the show, the next step could be a little lady with white hair. You know?
Ellen Cunningham? Mike, that's the day I eat the bullet on the air. That's the day that I admit we cannot do a show.
Sure.
That's the day it all falls apart. You got the Billy?
Yeah, you want to
That's the day that I smell the most delightful rose perfume in the world
again.
Got
to go back to Billy. Now, I think we've established the fact that Billy Crystal last night during the Oscars was not funny.
Not his best performance ever.
As much as he wants everyone to think that he prepared and he put a lot of stuff into the show. And you know, now that I think about it, you might be thinking the same thing right now when you're listening to this piece of crap that we're putting out. But here's the difference. We're not being interviewed by people on television telling you that we put hours and hours of preparation into this show.
Exactly. We're just throwing it out there and seeing if it sticks to the wall like a wall walker.
Let's see. Billy Crystal. Oh, here's now another one of his jokes.
Ah.
Another one of the jokes. Good. This is a joke about Bill Murray. Billy Crystal from the Oscars.
Oh, yeah.
Phil, don't go. Phil, don't go. No, it's okay. We love you.
Where's the joke?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Steven Spielberg.
That's it. That was the joke.
Huh? Rob, you got to help us. I was totally visual.
Explanation.
No,
they didn't show Bill Murray.
It wasn't that visual, it just wasn't funny. That is after Bill Murray lost Best Actor.
To Sean Penn, he said, Bill, don't go. And apparently, I mean, it either could have been because the camera didn't show it.
Oh.
Not only was the joke not there, but the technical direction was not there, so you didn't see. If Bill Murray was pretending to get up and leave...
If he did, by the time they got to Bill Murray, it was just him sitting in his chair looking pleasant.
Yes.
So if they had showed him, he would have had to have stood up.
Right.
If they didn't show him, the joke still had a...
Right.
Phil, don't go. Phil, don't go. No, it's okay.
I get it.
We love you.
So that is, I guess, one of the go-tos that they had where they said, incidentally, if Bill Murray loses, if Sean Penn or someone else wins, your joke is you look at Bill Murray and say, don't go.
Right.
And, oh, yes, Billy, just in case Bill Murray wins, you turn the joke around and you use it on Sean Penn.
Right.
Sean, don't go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's great, guys.
Yep.
Have my material ready.
If you call that a joke, I don't think it was a joke.
By the way, I was just on the phone with Dr. Fad, Ken Hakuta.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of fun. He was not sure as to why the line died.
Sure.
We'd love to have him back sometime, but
sure.
It was not specific. And he thanks you guys because it was a lot of fun.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Why do you care about his feelings, Rob?
Rob, thanks for the update.
Come on, please.
Give us an update on how the guest in the terrible segment feels.
Here's an update. Here's a great update. Hey, Don and Mike, I just talked to Ken Okuda. He's had a fatal heart attack after being on the show.
Good heavens, no.
I go, that's a good update. Hey, Don and Mike, I just talked to Ken Okuda. He is spitting up blood after being on the show. There. Now I'm laughing.
Or I just talked to Ken Okuda and he's crying like a little baby.
Okay. I don't care about his dumb concept.
I just wanted to hear the baby sound.
Dr. Fett.
It just makes me laugh.
You know, it always makes a baby stop crying.
Bacardi Limon.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
That's why you, sir, are the greatest man in show business.
We will never speak of this again. The Don and Mike Show.
Good heavens, no.
Good heavens.
Three rings. Calling him?
Yeah.
Where does it say studio? Embattled GM.
I don't think so.
Does he know who's calling?
Jean Bertrand Linewand.
Where is he? He's just avoiding every call.
Hello, this is Al Linewand.
He's fled.
WJFK Radio.
Fled.
I'm unavailable right now.
Sure you are.
Please, your name,
fled.
Number,
right now.
Message.
I will.
Back to you as soon as possible.
Thanks.
Thank you, and
You're
have
welcome.
A nice day.
You're welcome.
I'll record your message at the tone. When you're finished, hang up or stay on the line for further options.
Alan, hi, it's salaried employees Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara calling.
Howdy!
First, want to say, absolutely love your zero tolerance policy.
Yes.
Couldn't be behind it more.
Mm-hmm. We're there for you, baby.
Who was our sponsor today, Rob? It was
Boston Medical Group. Yeah.
Boston Medical Group, our sponsor of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Also want to say, I think a lot of people would really like to know from you on our show or on Ron and Fez or on any show on WJFK, exactly why you did what you did with Frank Herzog.
That's right. Just love to hear it.
Like to hear your side of the story.
We offer you a forum. We've offered Larry a forum, and we've offered Frank a forum here. And because as you might know, it's kind of all over the paper.
And Buzz, you just got this off the web.
Yes,
Mike. Remember we had the discussion
No, this is one of our sales flyers. Actually, this is a copy of what's on the web.
Oh, so it's okay.
You might want to think though.
Right.
They still have this stuff up for the salespeople to take.
What's
out.
On the most recent flyer here?
Stealing TV viewers. According to field research, 52% of local TV viewers turn down the TV and turn up Redskins radio to listen to the legendary team of Sonny, Sam, and Frank.
Might want to change that on the website since the decisions are
in the sales flyers.
Unless, of course, Alan, you, much like Aristide, you've fled the country. We're not sure.
So it shouldn't say Sonny, Sam, and Frank.
No.
So, Alan, be a stand-up guy and come on the show and talk about this.
You're welcome at any time.
Come on. We've got other stuff to do, but we'll make room for you.
We will.
Because I know you're really dedicated to talking to people about this, besides people at the Washington Post,
mm-hmm.
who you can just read the quotes to.
Yeah, and besides, the Washington Post might have an agenda. You could come on here, and we'd let you speak, and then, of course, we do what we always do, talk about you behind your back.
And, Alan, if you had gotten your wish 2 weeks ago and you were able to fire us as callously as you did Frank Herzog...
Would you...
Bye.
Bye, Alan.
Bye.
Bye. Jean Bertrand, line one.
All my best.
He goes,
all my very best.
Rebels are surrounding his office.
All my very best.
The United States has asked him to step down.
Marines have landed.
Marines, a battalion of 50 Marines surrounding Alan's office.
You know, if I could just point out again, this is another crisis that's going on in the world, that Haiti is being overrun by looters.
Yes.
The president has had to leave the country.
Yes.
Rebel forces are there.
Yes.
We're sending in Marines.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But what are we still concerned about as a nation? Shock radio.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's the crazy time we live in.
Before we get to the Billy Crystal stuff and your phone calls today, I really hope we have a time for phone calls.
Oh, and I wanted to mention very briefly, Don, that Hershey says hello.
Who?
The pony. Saw the pony over the weekend with me. Hey, I gotta be. I gotta chime. That's always good.
Chime
Hershey looks at you and said, "Say hello to Donnie for me." Between his carrot and his apple.
Did you tell him I'm spelling my name differently now? It's D O N I.
I said it's D O N I, and that secretly you do want to become a woman.
This is a local story. You know, we do a national show,
right?
A regional, coast to coast national show.
That's right.
And we make no secret about the fact that we're based in D.C., mm-hmm. which is why we're talking about the fact that our radio station just fired the announcer for the Redskins after 25 years. Here is a local story, though, that I think everybody around the country can enjoy.
Okay.
It comes from Springfield, Virginia,
that's
which
right
is
around here.
Just miles away.
That's terrific.
This is an awful story. I will tell you this.
An awful story?
An awful story.
I mean, like, what, a horrible, tragic story?
Okay. Over the weekend, there was a guy who was driving drunk. Guy's name is... Well, does it matter? It's foreign. I can't figure it out.
Okay, all right.
It's not like the guy's name is Bob Smith.
Right. Okay, it's hard to pronounce.
José Galindo,
age
25.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. He was driving on 95, and there was a guy that was changing a tire on the side of the road.
Very dangerous thing to do.
Yeah. The guy that was drunk, that was driving the SUV, hit him.
Ugh.
And dragged him. For 8.5 miles.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. It gets better. Dragged him for 8.5 miles all the way to the guy's house.
You mean it gets worse?
Yeah, because once the drunk guy got home and saw that he had been driving for 8 miles with a guy on the front of his car.
A guy, I would assume, a body at that point.
Yeah. He called police to report that a man's body was caught in the front end suspension of his car.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Wow.
I mean, I've heard of drag racing.
Oh.
But this is just not.
Wow.
Not even.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Wow. All right, let me.
So the guy obviously bought the farm, the guy that he hit.
Yeah, that guy, come on, that guy was dead probably the moment the drunk guy hit him.
Yeah.
Probably. But then the drunk guy drives for 8 more miles on 95, and then when he gets home, gets out of his car, I'm guessing.
So it's in the suspense, so he's under the car?
Yeah, so he's guilty of manslaughter, driving under the influence, and littering.
All right. You're going to like this. At Walmart. That, you know, like everywhere, Walmart, Target, every store, they're worried about...
Getting a Target out where I live.
Are you really?
Yes, sirree.
Mike?
The wedding show.
They're all worried about being robbed. They're all,
sure.
Everybody's looking for terrorism. So imagine...
Wait, who's looking for terrorism?
All these stores. What I'm saying is everybody's...
The nervous stores?
Everybody's on heightened alert. Let me tell you the situation.
Okay.
You're at a Walmart in Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, there's trouble right there.
And you see a guy in the parking lot who is wearing a ski mask.
Right.
And what do you train now? You've had this training. You call your boss and you say... There's a dude in the parking lot who's wearing a ski mask.
No, you yell across at him and say, "It's not cold out."
Okay, so they see a guy...
In a ski mask.
In a ski mask.
Yeah.
It's not something that happens all the time. They don't see this a lot, so they flipped out. They called the police. Guess who it was?
Who?
Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson.
Oh, my God. Hi.
Michael Jackson.
Hi, I was just wearing my mask.
It was his disguise.
Idiot.
Skiing
what
disguise.
An idiot.
So he could go shopping at Walmart.
I wanted to go to Walmart, and I'm wearing my disguise.
You remember?
So no one will notice me.
You remember last May when he had to show up at somebody's office to testify about something? He wore a Spider-Man mask that day, the day that he wanted to know where the nearest Taco Bell was.
I just need something to buy.
Wow.
Of course, he was accompanied on this trip with security people.
Of course.
I don't get how...
He doesn't want to be, what, recognized? Everybody knows... how could they not know it was Michael Jackson?
Because here's the thing. Now that I'm thinking about it, I've read this story a million times. I'm thinking about it now. Think of the guy in Walmart. All you see outside is a limo or a Hummer or an Escalade, whatever the car is, a Navigator, whatever, pulls up. You see a guy with a ski mask, and you see a bunch of guys getting out with the ear things.
You're right. You think you're going to get knocked over.
Yeah. Right.
Or some sort of terrorist.
Or worse. You're right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. It turns out it's the kid toucher.
Hi, I just thought I'd come in and do some shopping. I wanted to get clothing. Do you have anything left over from the Kathy Lee collection?
The Oscars, we've discussed that. We've got Billy Crystal. We can get to that later with who won, blah, blah, blah. The big story is the, as Joe Ardinger would say, hold on, where is he?
Joe Ardinger.
Passion of Christ, man.
Passion of the Christ, Joe.
Passion of Christ has made over $100 million.
Yeah.
And if we're still on in Evansville, Indiana, and that's a good question to start with. Are we still on?
I think about that every day, incidentally.
Are we? Or
that's right.
No, I don't know. You don't know, do you?
Oh, we're sorry.
Well, we were on there for a while.
Good heavens, no.
Anyway, there's a story from Evansville, Indiana, that there was a guy who went to the movie Saturday night, The Passion of Christ.
Okay.
Guy, 19, caused quite a ruckus.
Oh, no.
He went dressed as the devil.
Oh.
God. Now,
this is a joke.
Hey, wait, this is in Evansville, Indiana?
Yeah. This is funny. Management had to get involved. After a woman, she had to be in her 80s, maybe in her 70s. Anyway, she poured a giant 64-ounce Coca-Cola all over the guy in the devil suit.
Oh, my God.
Wow. And then they wanted to kick the guy out in the devil suit, and the guy in the devil suit said, hey, you got to kick out the old lady who...
I have a right to wear whatever costume.
Threw the Coca-Cola there. And so the guy, is an atheist, and he said, here's his quote to the media and to the police. The guy that wore the devil suit to the Mel Gibson movie.
Yeah.
If God really existed, he would have struck me down as dressing as the devil. So what he's saying is,
sure,
there really was a God. Okay.
So he tortured an old lady, and she got her. Did they let them both stay in the theater, or did they kick them both out?
They're both out. He's
get out of here.
Go down to Georgia. Go down to Rome, Georgia. Isn't that where the B-52s are from?
I think so.
Or is it just because they have that song, Rome Where You Want To?
Tin Roof!
Isn't it?
Rusted.
Isn't it R.E.M.? That's from Rome, Georgia?
No, both R.E.M. and the B-52s.
Athens, Georgia.
Athens.
Not Greece.
What is it that I know about Rome, then?
Well, Rome if you want to.
Rome is in New York. Rome is in Italy.
Rome apples.
Anyway...
The fabulous radio personality, Jim Rome.
He's wonderful.
In Rome, Georgia. Boy, I'm not going to have time to keep up with the Rome game. You guys win the Rome game. Tickets at one theater where they had the Mel Gibson movie. Here's the problem. I don't know if you ever looked at your movie ticket, but apparently when you're buying tickets at thousands at a time, they have numbers on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they can count who went in.
Right.
Well, they've sold so many tickets for this Mel Gibson movie, and they've sold so many in advance that they're selling them in blocks of hundreds.
Right.
Well, imagine the church group that got the tickets, and their tickets were number 666.
Yeah. I'm sitting next to a guy in a devil suit.
The machine that prints tickets,
my God,
made 666 the prefix on all of the tickets for the movie in Rome, Georgia. Not just...
And my popcorn tastes funny.
It's from the computer. It's a coincidence.
Excuse me, this ticket has 666 on it, and there are flies coming out of my popcorn.
It has nothing to do with the theater, the guy says, yet they ended up giving... How many tickets had 666 on them, Buzz?
I don't know the number. It was a bunch.
Up in the... what was that, Mike?
Mr. Peck, those are evil tickets.
We've
got to stop the boy.
In the thousand.
There would have to be probably 1,000, because after 1,000 tickets, they would start 667.
You know, and for that guy in the devil suit, this is just an opinion here.
Mm-hmm.
With all those movies about the devil, there have been a heck of a lot more movies about the devil than there have about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he should have stayed home in his red tights.
Hold on, Brian.
Or go see Mooseport.
Brian, you're on the air. Brian.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I think that story is just a hoax. That website is a satire site. As funny as it is.
What? Hold on. What are you talking about? Are you talking about the guy with the devil suit?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Well, what website are you talking about?
The site it's posted on is...
The site that I found it posted on was a little something called MSNBC.com.
Well, it's reported from Hoosier.net.
You're not doing a good job of pleading your case here, my dimwitted friend.
When you spend hours in front of the computer screen, mm-hmm. your ability to communicate the English language becomes a little... Are you saying that the origin of this story, this originated from a website in Indiana?
Yeah.
And what would you say? I'm not saying that you maybe aren't right about this.
Yeah, you might be right.
You might be right, but it's reached a level past just our stupid radio show.
Well, I got the link originally from FARC, and it's a satire site.
I'm familiar with that one. Well, you may be right, or you may be crazy, but it might be a lunatic we're looking for.
On another note, I'm a projectionist at the theater.
Hey, thanks for getting that joke, nerd man.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I get it, Mike, and I want to tell you something. That joke and all the things you do...
Yes.
That's why you'll always be a woman to me.
Oh, man, I'll look for you 9 o'clock on a Saturday. You know, when the usual crowd shuffles in.
Well, I won't be around for long because only the good die young.
Oh, man.
And Mike, really, I mean this is true.
I mean, and incidentally, first person to use Uptown Girl
gets shot. Not Mike.
What?
Don't go changing
there
to try to please me.
You win. I'm giving you the last word on
that. Don't go changing. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm moving out. Yeah. I'm moving out.
Why don't you go down the hallway and see if you get an exclusive interview with our fearless leader in Allentown.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
We have
a winner.
Allentown.
Hi, this is Allentown.
Yes, the streets are lined with pennies. The streets are lined with pennies and with broken promises and lies to the media.
Oh, man.
And last thing, do I have mm-hmm. time for this, about Paris Hilton? She was at the Oscars. This is funny.
They didn't show her, I don't think, in any...
Well, here's why. Here's why. Did you see when they were walking in that they had all of these little areas, I don't know how to refer to them, except to say Japanese pools? You know what I mean?
The reporters?
No. When everybody was walking in on the red carpet.
Right.
To the left and to the right of the red carpet. Oh, there were these
garden pond type
thing. Okay. Yeah. All right. But they had like rose petals and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
Lily pads.
Well, the deal is, when she was walking on the red carpet,
yeah,
she walked right, and nobody has a tape of this, but she walked right into one of these ponds, and she had water past her ankles.
Oh, yeah.
That's how stupid. And the quote, oh, my God, as she drenched herself to her upper calves.
Really?
How stupid is this girl?
So she's so airheaded that she just walks into a pond.
And what did she say? My new Louis Vuitton shoes. At least they're clean now. God, I didn't see that pool. Hey, guess what? I just fell into a pond. It's so embarrassing. And now people on IHateParisHilton.com or whatever the website, they think it's fake.
Yeah.
That she did it as a Jessica Simpson moment.
I agree. I wouldn't doubt it for a second.
I don't know.
I would think, really,
see it?
I mean, who knows? I don't want to crawl inside the brain of Paris Hilton. But
there wouldn't be, I want to say, there'd be a lot of room in there.
English walnut. Do you think they're really... Do you think she wanted more attention? Well,
sure.
She did.
Sure, of course
she did.
Of course she did.
America's favorite ditz.
She wanted more attention. Let's call Pennyland.
Mm-hmm. Allentown.
Allentown. There's a good parody song there somewhere. We're living here in Allentown, and they're tearing all of our broadcasts down. No, why would he pick up the phone? Why would he pick up the phone? A man would pick up the phone.
Hello, this is Alan.
There he goes.
All right, coward. Mm-hmm. Here's what we can do. We got a break.
Yes.
We can take phone calls,
mm-hmm.
or we can hear some Billy Crystal.
Or how about a little of both?
Well, kind of hard to do one or the other.
You know what? In fairness to Rob, who worked so hard on this, let's go with the Crystal, because otherise, it'll be like Jerry Lewis.
You're right.
Yeah, let's get the fresh Crystal.
You got it? Okay, let me just give you a taste.
Mm-hmm.
of the worst Oscar performance ever.
Start your egos.
He's funny.
It's a wonderful night for Oscar.
Don't you wish they'd let us play the puke sound effects?
Yeah, I do.
It's all right.
Yes. We can have those in our minds the whole time we're listening to it.
His hip is titanium, but he still goes.
Oh, Billy.
Broadcast in 53 languages, and that's just for Los Angeles alone. And for the very, very first time...
You know, and what you're hearing, really, on Oscar telecast before, he'd hit one, and you'd hear a really loud laugh. There weren't any in this thing.
So if the orchestra is playing, and they're excited to see who this... So
this is the cut about the home run for Rob Reiner.
A few weeks ago at the Kodak Theater, where Billy reminisced with me about Oscar's past.
Billy Crystal.
I was supposed to introduce Hal Roach. And Hal was 100 years
inside the comedic mind.
He was just supposed to get up and wave.
There's no microphone over there. Mr. Roach is thanking the audience, I'm sure, for their warm wishes.
So I introduced him, and Mr. Roach started talking. Everyone was so uncomfortable because he was this great gentleman.
Here we go.
I think that's fitting because Mr. Roach started in silent film.
Tell us, Billy.
My proudest moments as a comedian. And then I made a gesture, really, for Rob Reiner at home. I go, ooh, fastball. Like, right on the outside corner. And we used to talk that way about jokes, you know, in baseball terms.
And I said, ooh,
you know, Dom,
jerk face.
When I made that joke about Allentown a minute ago, and I looked at you and I went, ooh, fastball.
Yeah, fastball.
Oh, yeah.
Fastball. And here's one of the jokes.
There you go.
Wow, it's
Billy's shoes.
Here's the joke.
Some good news, they found Nemo. The bad news, he's in one of Wolfgang Puck's puff pastries. Thanks for that.
That takes a computer. Thousands of jokes.
And also, no, the great placement for that was right after the guy won the award for Best Director for Lord of the Rings. Not near anything to do with Nemo.
No, just
out of the blue.
Well, he thought it was so good, Rob.
He didn't want to waste that joke.
And before we have to break, Buzz does have news about the story from Rome, Georgia.
Yes, as a matter of fact, it was posted on FARC.com, and the link goes to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, a highly respected newspaper that covers Rome, Georgia, just 40 miles away. So the story stands as legitimate about the 666 theater tickets.
But I heard it on the internet.
Yeah.
Was it the other one the guy heard on the internet?
No,
the other guy was in the devil suit.
That had nothing to do with that. It was Evansville, Indiana was the other story. That's the story the guy was calling about.
He was saying that he was calling from Indiana, or that he was referring to a website out of Indiana, but the truth is the story came from Georgia, as Don had said earlier, and I'm just saying that...
No. The story, Buzz, came from Evansville, Indiana that Don was reading.
There were two different stories. There was a story about the guy with the devil suit.
Right.
And that's what I think
the guy was calling, saying
that was fake.
That was a fake from a website in Indiana.
The story with the guy with the 666 on the ticket.
Mm-hmm. No one was questioning the authenticity of that story.
Well, they shouldn't.
Thank you, Buzz.
I'll check on the Evansville story.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Buzz. Right. Appreciate it.
I really thought he was saying the 666 story was bogus.
Well, I thought he was saying that the devil story was bogus.
He was saying the devil suit story was bogus.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi. Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, good afternoon. Hey, Don, the devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal.
And that's great.
Thank you
for helping us out of that moment. Very good. Devil went down to Georgia.
I really enjoy your guys' show. You guys are awesome.
Thank you very much.
And my wife, I don't have it here, but I'll tell you something. My wife, she's a devil woman. She's evil on her mind.
I'm sorry that you have to instantly disqualify that guy for using the phrase your guys'.
Oh, that's right.
It's one of our standing rules.
Stop it, Rob.
One of your rules.
Would you stop it? Oh, you're right. Rules are rules.
I'm sorry, you're dead to me.
And he was wearing a blue dress.
We'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Yeah.
Are you there?
Am I on the air?
You are. Who is this?
Were you looking to be on the air?
Yeah, I was, but nobody said, hello, you're on the air.
Hello, you're on the air. Who is this?
Oh, my name is Larry.
Hey, Larry.
Wow, I have a brother named Larry.
Mike
doesn't.
So funny like that.
I have a question for you.
Yes, we're listening, Larry.
Yeah, why are you guys allowed to say bullshit? But they couldn't say bullshit on the Don and Mike Show.
Whoopee! What? Don't drink soda before you call the show.
No, hello, you're in the air. Joe?
Yes?
These are your friends calling.
No, they're not.
Hello, you're in the air.
Whoopee!
He's very happy about that.
The Don and Mike Show. Hello!
They cherish most of their listeners. Don and Mike.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Right.
Hello!
Right, right.
Hello.
Tomorrow on the show, we'll be playing a game and giving away a great prize. You'll be able to join us in Las Vegas. You'll be able to win a 2-night, 3-day trip for two to Las Vegas to see the Sugar Shane Mosley fight.
All right.
That fight is on HBO, Saturday, March 13, 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific, only on HBO. We're going out there on HBO's dime. We're going to do a show from Las Vegas, and then we're going to have a weekend of Las Vegas-style fun.
Boy, that is going to be fun. We're looking forward to that, and it couldn't come soon enough.
Yeah. No reason that you can't join us. We will give away a trip. You'll be there when we're there. Mm-hmm. The week from Friday in Las Vegas. That's tomorrow on HBO. As far as the story with the guy in the devil suit, our producer, Charles Broyhill.
Charlie Broyhill.
He went on the web and found the Hoosier Gazette,
right,
which is where the story with the guy with the devil suit originated. We still don't know if it's real or fake.
I'm still working on confirming that. I'm defending you. You did the story. He said it was a hoax. I think you're right. I'm looking it up.
I believe it's true as well. What, Mike?
Nothing.
No, go ahead.
No, Buzz came in.
I know Buzz has been confused about which story it is.
About which story. Now Buzz is on the case about the devil story. That's all.
It's the devil suit. I want to go on. And as Mike says, I want to go on record. I believe the man wearing the devil suit in the theater was a true story.
You think that's a true story? Is that the picture there? That's
Oh no, this is just a picture of just a common IMDb picture of Christ.
Ah, yes, okay, for the movie itself. And we don't have any definitive word on whether the devil suit story is legit or not.
But we will in a couple of minutes.
Okay, so you're on that one.
I'm on that.
You're no longer pursuing the 666 story.
No, we know that one's true,
right,
and
right.
I'm about to prove the other one is too.
Do you think it's true? Seriously?
I seriously do.
Very good.
How can this be?
One.
This can't be right. I'm looking at an affiliate list here. Now, hold on just a cotton picking minute.
What?
Yes, Major? Well, no, hold on. did you know that we were on in Kansas City?
No,
really?
I didn't know that.
Oh, man.
I know, Buzz. You got family there.
Yeah, my mother-in-law.
Some POS station called KCTE.
Never heard of it. Naturally.
There you go.
How about Greenville, North Carolina?
I thought we were off in Greenville.
No,
Greenville,
South Carolina. Right. How about Lake Tahoe, California?
Tahoe.
Between Sacramento and Reno.
Tahoe.
We're on in Tahoe?
Yeah, we are. And also, here's the station, 93.5 WTNC, Drakesboro, Kentucky. That's near Evansville, Indiana. Let me call them up. First off, see if they're still running the show.
Right.
And then see if...
That's a great station. The board up there is dressed as the devil right now.
All the time.
Every day. Pitchfork, the whole deal.
Holding a ticket with 666 on it.
Drakesboro, Kentucky. That would be Evansville, Indiana.
Drakesboro,
Kentucky, 93.5.
WSJD.
Yeah, hey, this is Don and Mike. We're on the air now. I hope that's cool with you. Are we still on
93.5? 93.5.
Yeah, we're doing a radio show now. You know that. We are. I hope that's okay with you.
Okay.
Am I calling a radio station?
Yes.
Am I calling a radio station that has a frequency of 93.5 in Drakesboro, Kentucky?
93.5.
Right.
No, I don't believe so.
But I'm calling a radio station.
What do you mean you don't believe so? I mean, is it...
That's not the... let me see if I can find the general manager here.
Hold on. Do you work at a radio station?
Yes, I do.
What's the frequency of your radio station?
Well,
the number.
You know, what's the dial position of the station you work at?
Well, it depends on which station we're talking about.
All right, so
list them all.
So you own a bunch of them.
Are
you the receptionist?
I am today.
In your cluster of stations,
there is not a 93.5 in Drakesboro.
There is not.
Not of which I am aware.
Have you ever heard of a station called WNTC?
Yes, I believe I have.
Is it in your building?
Not today.
Was it in your building before?
Let me get get the general manager.
Yeah, go ahead.
Someone helpful.
But tell him he's going to be on the radio.
I bet you $1 we get the general manager, and it's the same guy using his grown-up voice.
Hello. Mrs. Cleaver.
Come on. Is it the day? Is it that hard to communicate with people sometimes?
Well, let's see.
The weather, maybe?
Let's look at the upside on this.
Mm-hmm.
We might not be on in Drakesboro, Kentucky, or Evansville, Indiana.
Then how could that possibly have gotten onto your sheet?
But what about Kansas City?
Yeah.
That's a good clear for the show.
Sure is.
I wish they would have told us about that.
But Drakesboro, Kentucky, I don't doubt that when they are sending the information down to whoever they send it to, that it can get lost in translation.
Mm-hmm. Sure does.
Just like the movie. And congratulations to Sofia Coppola.
Well, she can't get by on her looks forever.
Or her personality.
She's so put upon. Rob, don't you understand? She's carrying the weight of the world on her soft, feminine shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she should put some of the weight on those big teeth.
And listen, I got
she
news
does have
for
large
you.
Teeth.
I got news for you. And if my wife is listening, maybe she'll call in to back me up. We love Bill Murray. We walked out of that movie.
That movie
lost the translation.
This movie has gotten so many awards.
The movie is like the most boring movie. Well, all right, Buzz.
Are you sure? You know, sometimes
it's not just me. It was her too.
But sometimes it was her too. It's the mood, and you know, I've done that before.
Oh, we went into this theater looking to laugh, thinking we like Bill Murray. We like serious Bill Murray. Lay it on us.
Did you like the scene where he had the devil suit on?
The scene I liked is where we called it.
Wasn't your reason for not liking it because Bill Murray was just too dry?
Yeah, the story is, it's a semi-washed-up entertainer who's in Japan.
Film a commercial.
And he's bored. And like I said when I saw it, they do a great job of letting you know he's bored.
Right.
Because the movie is boring and moves at a snail's pace.
Okay.
I would say that our conversation with a guy in Drakesboro, Kentucky is moving faster, and he's not on the telephone. Well, the guy put us on hold.
Based on our conversation with the guy we were speaking with, he might not be able to find the general manager.
All right, well then.
Even if the general manager was sitting at the same desk as he was.
Goodbye to him. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, this Hot Talk 1510 KCTE, Don and Mike are not listed on there.
Now, that's 1510. We've got an FM frequency.
93.5.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
He come down with something.
Real unexpected.
What is? All I know is that we're getting a little picture of Drainsboro, Kentucky right
well,
now.
Well, we're going to have to move back and talk about Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
Buzz,
wait a minute. How did the guy that just called us know that we weren't on? What's he listening to? Do you understand?
No, he was on the web.
Oh, he's on the web?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was on the web. And don't ask. Don't ask how you can listen to the show on the web.
Yeah, I know. It's just
because you can't listen to the show on the web. In theory, you can't, right? Isn't that right, Alan? That's right. You can't listen to the show on the web. Billy Crystal last night.
Wonderful.
Man, funny stuff.
Hey,
Jesus,
funny.
Boy.
Funny stuff from the Gags Gang.
I laughed so hard I cried. Here's
Start your egos.
Here's his opening.
Yeah.
Hey. Jokes and vamping.
Wonderful night for us.
Wouldn't it be great if they did? Boo him like this.
And he still goes. His hip is titanium, but he still goes.
Billy.
He broadcast in 53 languages, and that's just for Los Angeles alone. And for the very, very first time, we're being simulcast in Aramaic.
That was a joke.
Do you hear that? That's no laugh at all.
Right. A lot of first-time nominees. And I want you all to know, all you first-timers, it is customary to tip the host.
Funny, Billy.
First-timer Charlize Theron. Man.
Charlize Theron.
Miss Theron, you look absolutely beautiful, but in that movie, you scared the bejesus out of Mel Gibson. I can't believe...
All right, stop right there. That's the one... Yeah. That's the joke I totally didn't get.
And that movie, you scared the bejeez out of Mel Gibson.
Mm-hmm. Oh, bejesus out of Mel Gibson. Yeah.
I thought it was a mistake.
I thought it was a mistake, too, and I maintain I think it was a mistake.
Because his next joke is about Mel Gibson, and if he's going by cue cards, he might have just been reading ahead.
How about when he gets done with jokes and he starts singing about each of the individual movies?
I guess that's the joke. Is that he's scared because it's the Passion of Christ.
Right.
You scared the bejesus out of Mel Gibson. That's it.
Hilarious.
So bad that it's not even, you can't identify it as a joke.
No. And everybody's heard this. It's been overdone a million times where he comes out and sings about the various songs.
Right.
But in previous years, there's
been, funny.
There's been some level of that where you laugh.
Yep.
Okay, here's a song about Mystic River.
Mystic River. That Mystic
Not funny, Billy.
It just keeps rolling along.
And then he throws the Jolson in, you know, which is, like, weird.
There's a shooting.
Okay, you get the idea there. How about
horrible.
The movie we were just talking about, Lost in Translation? Billy, Lena triple threat.
And she's being very humble about it, saying it's just great to be nominated, but I don't think that's true. Because today Peter Jackson woke up with Seabiscuit's head in his bed.
Oh, hold on. That was about Sophia. There's Lost in Translation. That's equally bad, though.
Tim, I should... Good to see you. Hello. Look at this. Everybody from Hollywood is here. Wait, this is like the Canadian Oscars.
I don't get
now,
that.
What was that joke?
I don't get that.
No.
Another great movie this year was Lost in Translation. This is, yeah, it's a lovely movie. This is Governor Schwarzenegger's favorite film.
That was, I believe, another laugh.
That's like, no, that's literally no laugh.
That's another joke. Lost in Translation, Governor Schwarzenegger's favorite film. See, you get it?
Because
he says,
thank you for explaining it.
Because he says California.
I get it.
Directed by Sofia Coppola, the first American woman ever nominated for Best Director. She made this movie in 27 days.
Shows.
It took Francis that long to wake up Brando. And he woke him up with three little words. Key lime pie.
All right, so let's review the
joke. Now that one I laughed at. That one I laughed at.
But let's review the
joke. I like fat jokes.
Yeah but... That's easy.
Yeah, of course it's
that doesn't take a computer and working around the clock for 4 months to come out and say, Sofia Coppola, how did her dad wake up Brando, three words, a key lime pie.
Right.
How about Seabiscuit? He had a crazy, crazy song about that nutty horse, that crazy Tobey Maguire horse. He's a triple threat.
Seabiscuit. He's a horse. The horse Oscar may go to.
You know, this is just not good.
The fact that
he can't sing.
I mean, really, I mean, he's a comedian, but it's still just
there.
I mean,
it's like he made these up in the car on his way to the show.
Will he win?
So what's he singing, a Goldfinger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Yeah.
And then he works the, you know, he's a big baseball fan,
uh-huh.
And he does the whole, do you see the part where he's riding the horse?
Uh-huh.
And that's just dying. Uh-huh. That's totally dying.
Uh-huh. Let's get past him singing and dancing. Here he is, really introducing some of the fabulous people in the crowd. Oh, is this the intro for Oprah? Oh, that's a long one.
Hold on, well, what disc are you on? There's three discs. You've gone to disc two.
I'm on
this is disc three.
This is disc three? Okay. Yeah. Hold on a second. Well, let's just go to... Billy winding it up. See the big close. Because you've heard how bad the jokes were.
Oh, horrible.
Hold on. A guy says he has an explanation of the Canadian joke, the Canada joke. Tim.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi, buddy.
How's it going?
Hey, we're doing great.
Good. Both of you. The reference to Canada was the fact that many Hollywood movies are being filmed in Canada nowadays.
So
that was the joke. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Thanks for the map.
For telling us that.
I'm so glad you explained it, because now I know how bad it was.
You have won the Sopranos prize pack, including the killer Sopranos robe.
Oh, you're kidding me.
You're going to love this thing. Hell hath no fury like the family. Don't miss the highly anticipated Sopranos. Sunday night at 9, 8 Central, only on HBO. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I love you guys.
Thank you. We love you. Not funny. Billy Crystal, not funny. Here he is winding it up after the evening of fun and frivolity.
All right, well, I want to thank the people of Long Island while we're thanking people.
Not funny.
I've had a great time tonight. It's been a great year for the movies, a wonderful night for all the nominees, I hope. And remember, what happens at the Oscars stays at the Oscars, okay? So here are the winners of the 76th Annual Academy Awards, and good night, everybody.
That's a new awkward touch that I hate. I hate bringing them all out. I hate bringing them all out at the end of the night.
Yeah, me too.
Nobody wants to be out there.
No. Billy.
So that's Billy.
He has had better years. I mean, we can all agree on that. He's had better years.
All that preparation.
That's Billy. Seabiscuit! Remember, he's got thousands of jokes in a computer, and it's like a football team. When he comes off, he says, if Naomi Watts wins, I've got to have my 21 grams jokes. I've got A, B, C, or D.
I really think that in the future, perhaps after this performance, he might want to low-key the whole thing about how hard he works. Or better yet, you know, let's go with somebody else next year.
Am I the only one that thinks next year's host should be, that's right, Billy Bush? Billy Bush, what a tool.
Hey, he kissed the Barney Stone, though, man. Billy Bush, you see Billy Bush everywhere.
What a Rick Dees wannabe.
It's real.
Hey, hold
up when you're Ryan Seacrest's wife.
Do you have the moment with Alec Baldwin? This is the best Billy Bush moment of the night.
Billy Bush was part of the festivities before the Oscar telecast.
He's talking to Alec Baldwin, and he leaves him. He says, I'm a big fan of Glengarry Glen Ross.
Right.
ABC. Always be. And Alex. Alex Baldwin. I know it's Alex. Alex. Alex.
No, it's Alec Rodriguez.
He won't let the joke go.
It's good.
The red carpet is growing calm as the clock ticks down towards movie's biggest night.
Shut up, bitch!
Wasn't she energetic?
From the start of the 76th Annual Academy Awards.
Nice Botox.
Some of the brightest stars in Hollywood are starting to take their seats inside the Kodak Theater.
God, she's like a rabbit on speed.
Right now, I think Billy's causing some trouble in the aisles.
Oh, Marie, I don't know if I'm causing trouble. I'm here with Alec Baldwin, nominated for Best Supporting Actor. Sir, what an incredible, incredible job you did. You played a Las Vegas casino boss. What are your odds tonight, you think?
Well, considering I stole my performance from Ben Kingsley in Sexy Beast.
Don't you love it when actors get all inside?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they don't let you know why it's so inside.
Yeah, I think he was just saying that because Ben Kingsley was
sitting in front of him.
Beast.
I heard that.
We're here. Did you whip Pan over? Did you Pan over to Ben?
I'll give you Alec, darling.
Considering I stole my whole performance from Ben Kingsley, I think I'm in pretty good shape.
How about this? You opened up on Broadway just a few nights ago playing a character named Oscar. Coincidence?
Yeah, possibly. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be fun.
From Glengarry Glen Ross, I say ABC. Always.
Always be accepting? No, that doesn't rhyme.
Closing. Thank you very much. And look behind Alec Baldwin is Sandra Bullock.
I'm gonna say to Billy Bush though, I don't think there's a tougher gig to just go out there and be sitting there. They don't want to have anything. I mean, it's just the whole situation lends itself to being uncomfortable. I like it when they're parading down there. You know, they all know they're going to be interviewed.
A,
they
B,
go to their
C.
seats and it's like, hey, how are you? You see when Billy Bush brought the kid over to meet Johnny Depp?
Yeah.
And she was mad at him because she said, you know, why did you do that? You embarrassed me. She practically said it directly to him.
Could you please play cut one? Because it is such a bad disc jockey way he handles the
Hold on.
Of his show.
The hotline is ringing now, too. Hello? Oh, the hotline is just dead. I don't know who that was on the hotline. You want to play cut one?
Yeah, it gives you just a great look at the way Billy Bush handles an interview.
Hi, I'm Billy Bush, and I'm hitching a ride to the Academy Awards with the youngest Best Actress nominee ever for Whale Rider, Keisha Castle Hughes. Her 30.
I saw this.
Whoever said that was an unlucky number is out of business. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
Threatened.
Pretty nervous.
Being in the car with you, Billy.
Threatened?
Yeah.
I love this on your ear. Show everybody. Is this for solidarity? Good luck?
It's kind of a good luck charm, but my biggest good luck charm is my mom right here.
Oh, Mom, you've got to be thrilled. Look at her face. Fantastic. Keisha, who are you excited to see the most? There's tons of famous people out here tonight.
Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp? Why Johnny?
Because he's a stud.
All right, Keisha, here you go. Welcome, Keisha, to the red carpet.
You know, I was going to give him some credit.
No.
But now I'm realizing, he's a DJ doing this.
Of course he is.
What is that in your ear?
He used to work with Janet from Another Planet.
I know he did. I mean, it's the whole segment. I found Joan Rivers more entertaining.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
And Joan Rivers is, you know, who are you wearing? Who are you wearing?
ABC stands for always be accepting.
That's Alec Baldwin. And the thing about Joan Rivers, she turned to the camera once or twice. They really made an effort so you didn't see her. And when you saw her, it is really the House of Wax.
Wow.
Terrifying.
And how about Melissa Rivers, huh?
I didn't see Melissa Rivers.
Oh, I did. Let's go to Mom. And speaking of funny, let's go to Mom.
Mommy.
Who's with Bob Goldthwait.
Mommy.
What Bob Goldthwait was doing at the Oscars.
I think it was Robin Williams' charity. I really do. I think Robin Williams was trying to give his pal a fun night out.
Good luck. Good luck. It didn't work.
No.
Although Bob Goldthwait still has that beret thing going for him.
And well, I mean, when you hang your head on that.
A buzz?
Yes.
It's news time.
Yes, see what you made me do, Rob?
What? See what you made me do? You made me play that tape.
In a world
and where, now look where we are.
Radio was strictly forbidden.
We're so late tonight.
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It was Buzz.
He made it up.
We've run over today. I hope they don't fire us and replace us with someone who's equally competent, but don't give our listeners an explanation as to why we've been fired.
Yes.
Buzz, what is your lead story today?
Today, this year, Oscar loved boredom and disappointment as much as he loved Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm. Oscar loves... Did you find out about the devil suit yet?
No, I'm going to finish that up during this break.
Gotcha.
Stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Here's little Billy Crystal right here. That was very professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
When in Los Angeles, they dine at Vivian. Don and Mike.
Right. Time for Buzz's news. Now, Buzz is still working on the devil suit story, so give me a second. I'll tell you, Buzz brought to you by Verimax Sexual Pleasure Performance Enhancer. Doctor developed.
Someone call for a doctor.
Clinically tested Verimax works. Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, other select retailers. Try it today. Verimax 1-888. Try it. VMAX. So I want to say, I know that our friend Larry Michael is in the building. And he's going to do a show tonight on WJFK right after we're done.
Right.
And Larry, what are you going to do? Get on tonight and not talk about how you got the job as the Redskins announcer?
Mm. Who knows?
Come on the show. Come on our show. Take some phone calls about it. Dude, we're on your side. We're on Herzog's side.
Sure.
We're on everybody's side, except Alan's side. Buzz, do you have an update on the devil suit?
I do. I just talked to the CBS television affiliate in Evansville, Indiana, WEDZ, and the people in the newsroom there say that the story is, in fact, true.
All right.
Oh, there it is. They had it as well.
There you go. Oh, and Robbie, need a fanfare.
You got it.
Because it's time for the FCC Liar of the Day.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the guy is he's Hogan from Clear Channel
Broadcasting. Hogan!
From Clear Channel Broadcasting. We're trying to bring you these highlights of the FCC indecency hearings.
Right.
I'm amazed that this guy just didn't burn right in the chair. Mm-hmm. That he just wasn't hit
by. Was there a devil sitting next to him?
There wasn't. So here now is John Hogan, Clear Channel.
I don't think he has changed his tune, but we have changed ours.
How about Stern?
We are going in a different direction.
Really?
We have heard you and your committee. We've heard the FCC. We've heard our listeners, and we've heard the American public. We're going to go in a different direction at Clear Channel Radio, and that sort of inappropriate material does not have a place on our air.
Yeah.
So is he gonna enforce that company wide?
Yeah. There you go. That's Don and Mike, FCC lie of the day.
Very good.
And now here's Buzz. And Buzz, way to buttonhole that devil story.
I'm right here behind you, Donnie.
You finally did it.
Yeah. I did it. I proved it. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
The Oscars promised surprises, and you know there really weren't any. The five-second delay kind of helped see to that, and although nobody ran afoul of the censors, the stars found themselves questioning nearly every little reference to sex and body parts. Even in pre-show interviews, Jack Black referred to a kick-ass song in his movie, then second-guessed his use of that term.
I'd just be remiss if I didn't say, we've been saying the Oscars sucked, and they did. Jack Black and Mike, you're not going to like this, Will Ferrell, because I know you don't like him, they did the single funniest thing at the Oscars.
I didn't see it.
They ad-libbed, or maybe it was a bit they had in mind. They gave words to the song the music when someone has walked off stage. They had a plan, and they said, your time is up. Your comments don't matter. We don't care about the people.
Right,
it was,
right.
That was a funny moment.
Good. Robin Williams used profanity with a local TV reporter just before the show and then apologized, adding, I can't say that. Before the show, the censors made the stars even jumpier. Jamie Lee Curtis got the third degree about whether her dress was see-through backstage. She walked away from the encounter muttering, that was scary.
Somebody who I know, who watched the show, mm-hmm. someone who works on this show, told me that he saw veins.
Mm. On Jamie Lee?
On Jamie Lee.
Well, yeah, but it was up top. I mean, she was kind of veiny up top.
He said she had veins on her bosoms.
You could see that, but I didn't think her dress was see-through.
No.
The best dress of the night was Angelina Jolie.
Oh, going away.
I mean, absolutely beyond anybody.
What about, now, you
anybody.
Know,
anybody.
You know, I got a thing for her, but what about, I thought Holly Hunter looked pretty hot.
Holly Hunter looked good. Jennifer Garner looked good also.
Yeah.
She looked really, but really, Angelina Jolie and Billy Bush, who did the interview with her, he looked.
Of course.
He looked like all guys look.
I do not
like
look.
A guy that hasn't done it for a long time. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
a guy that's like a fish out of water. He's just sitting there going, how are you?
His eyes are going up, down, up, down, up, down.
She looked absolutely as incredible as I've ever seen.
But Mike, she's still crazy as a loon.
She is. It doesn't matter the way
that's
she
right.
looked last
crazy
night.
Can be beautiful.
What was great in the pre-show is when Owen Wilson actually said to the reporter, are those real?
Yeah, that's right.
To the girl from Entertainment Tonight.
Owen Wilson was having a good night last night.
Yeah, he's funny. He can't help it, I don't think.
And Robin Williams also, before the show, before the telecast, had to promise that things he had said at rehearsal would not be repeated on the air. Yeah. So there was a great consciousness about the new climate at the Oscars last night.
How very sad.
And while I was driving home on Friday, I was listening to the Right Wing station, and a dummy Chris Corr, who wouldn't know an opinion if it came up and bit him in the ass, he's the guy that's had to go along with the whole Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh thing in order to survive.
Right.
He used to do a show, you know, like, what's your favorite donut?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Now his whole show is...
Is he political now?
Well, listen to this. This was the topic on his show on Friday. When we got done, I get in the car and I'm driving home and I'm listening, and he's saying, I think we should have a delay at the Oscars. I'm agreed on that.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody like... Who's the actor?
Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins.
Mm-hmm. If somebody like Tim Robbins wants to get up and make a political statement, that's where you use the delay.
Yeah, and Tim Robbins with his big political statement of making people aware of mental illness,
and
right?
All of the
real controversial. Yeah.
All of the moronic right wing listeners were calling in and saying, "Oh, Chris, you're so right. We don't need to have anybody say a political statement at the Oscars."
Yeah, why say it? Why make an opinion?
And I'm thinking about this, and I realized. What a great medium radio is, because I was getting mad saying, okay, Michael Moore did it last year at the Oscars.
Right.
Michael Moore said, shame on you, President Bush, shame on you. We what happened? Did the world change because Michael Moore said something at the Oscars? No.
No, not really.
No, but it's the climate we're in, and it's guys like this.
Yeah, let's take away all of our free speech.
Mm-hmm. Rob. You're killing me.
What are you doing?
He thinks that Chris Corr's topic should be mildly crossed eyes. I don't know. I don't like the guy.
Rob, is he another one of the many people you think have crossed eyes?
I don't think he's got
strategic eyes.
Go to I'll bring up the picture on WML's website. And this is the picture he chooses to put up of himself.
Cross eyes.
Yeah, good luck sneaking up on him.
Vaguely crossed eyes.
Anyway, it's the whole thing with the government's out to get us, and let's censor everything. And,
right. Yeah, I mean, and it goes beyond. Just if you're going to say something that's naughty, now it's don't make a political statement.
Well,
my God.
Being heard on this right
Where wing, are we?
No. On this right wing station was, well, it's okay to say you support the troops because that's the politically correct thing. Right. But you couldn't criticize Bush. You would hit the dump button in this perfect world for these guys. You hit the dump button if Tim Robbins was to say he's against
say
the war.
Say something anti-political.
Right. Correct.
Anti-administration.
Okay.
That is scary. Okay, I got
to look at the picture. Look at Greg. Everybody go to WMAL.com.
That'll be a first.
Look at him. He is cross-eyed. He is cross-eyed. Chris Corr.
Yeah, you're right, Rob.
He is so cross-eyed.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
I will now allow you to say I
win. Winner!
Thank you.
Oh, that's funny.
That was for you, Rob. That was a cross-eyed. Chris Gore's cross side. That is another reason for me to hate him. Besides all of the other reasons, Chris Gore's cross side. Chris Gore's cross side.
Boring, disappointing night that it was. 21 people were arrested for trying to sneak into the award show. Two of them had forged badges and a camcorder. Everyone arrested was cited for trespassing, but quoting an L.A. cop, there may be other charges. Before Sunday's Oscars, there were Saturday's Golden Raspberries. The Razzies are handed out each year for the worst that Hollywood has to offer, and this year, Razzie loved Geely.
Geely, right, Jiggly. Yeah, this right. Jiggly had to win everything,
it's
right?
It swept, as they say.
Yeah!
The Bennifer flick won Worst Actor for Affleck, Worst Actress for Lopez.
Winner!
Together,
winner!
They won Worst Screen Couple.
Winner!
The screenplay was cited as the worst, as
winner!
Was the movie itself.
Winner!
Stallone got Worst Supporting Actor for the Spy Kids sequel.
Yeah! Fantastic!
Winner! Demi Moore got another Razzie, this time for the Charlie's Angels sequel.
Oh, I disagree. I think that movie was bad, but I think she was...
Winner! Razzie's also named that the worst sequel of the year.
Oh, I gotta say... Yeah.
Winner!
Winner. Don't make that my screensaver.
Chris Gore's picture.
He made the cross-eyed picture. Come look at it.
It looks a little like Ralphie from A Christmas Story.
Look at how big the face is. And there's no doubt the left eye is all the way... He's all the way in the middle of his forehead.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure is.
Can't funnier.
Mildly cross-eyed.
Oh, my God.
Can't sneak up on him.
Cross-eyed Chris Gore.
It was a month ago today that Janet whipped it out at the Super Bowl, and the Smoking Guns website has gone looking for a smoking gun.
Oh, hold on. Buzz, let me stop you there. This is an excellent story that you really need to hear.
Right.
About the smoking gun.
Yeah.
We'll stop right there. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. WJFK is now. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. Broadcasting from the zone of uncertainty, the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, they're having a meeting in the back room right now.
Oh, boy.
All kinds of body parts, all kinds of twisted up. Good guy, Todd. 642, touch me.
Come on, now touch me, baby.
Yeah.
Man,
do the doors kick ass.
Yeah.
Got it.
Good heavens, no.
Well, we disagree, man.
So here's what's happening in the back, as you can relate to me. You know, those of you here in WJFK land will know all of the players.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Herzog, the guy who was the voice of the Redskins, got fired after 25 years. We're replacing him with Larry Michael, a guy who's been on our show before.
Right.
We have no bad words to say about either one of them.
No, nope,
we think
both
it's
good
very,
guys.
Very crappy the way the radio station handled this.
Right.
For most of the day, I've said this would be a good opportunity mm-hmm. for Larry to get on, take some phone calls,
mm-hmm.
Because I understand, and I can't speak for Larry, but I've heard that even Larry thinks that there should be some sort of ceremonial passing of the baton.
Sure.
However, when I was talking to Mike during the commercials, as Mike accurately said, the time for that decision was last Friday when they fired Herzog,
right.
Not Monday at 6:45.
That's what I said.
When Larry is about to come on the radio and do a live show. Now, I guarantee Larry's not going to be taking calls tonight.
I don't think so. You never know. I mean, who knows what they're talking about.
Yeah. But my advice would be upfront. And I wish that Larry would have come on the show today to talk about this whole thing.
Absolutely.
But anyway, they're having meetings back there, and I think...
No, I think you guaranteed him a significant amount of listeners.
Yeah, listen tonight.
Indeed.
Listen tonight at 7. Tonight.
Very good.
On WJFK tonight.
Right here
tonight.
In Washington, D.C. And for those of you around the rest of the country, you won't be able to hear that.
Tough.
So I'm sorry about that.
Too
sorry.
Bad. Move here.
Move to where the food is.
Move to where the food is.
Thank
and
you.
Then you'll get to hear Ron and Fez.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I think you'll like everything about WJFK, except Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
We tolerate him. Thank you.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, it was a month ago today that Janet whipped it out of the Super Bowl, and the Smoking Gun website has gone looking for a smoking gun and didn't find one. In fact, what the website found was that even though the FCC got 200,000 emails about the incident, not one of them was sent the night of the game. The website says the email objections only appeared after the American Family Association and other conservative groups started screaming about the wardrobe malfunction.
And don't you think, like me, that sending a complaint via email is now just too easy that someone,
oh, sure,
someone can send you a form letter.
Yes, people can organize it. And, I mean, that's really, that was the whole Howard Dean thing. I mean, he got popular because the techies in his campaign, I mean, mounted this incredible grassroots illusion of support.
Boy, do I love the grassroots. Don't get me going on that. Sooner or later, love is going to get you.
You know you love. What's the other one?
I could wait a million years, walk a million miles, cry a million tears. Temptation Eyes.
Yeah.
Temptation Eyes. Through my mind, through my soul. Mike, I'd wait a million years, walk a million miles, cry a million tears. I have jammed with that band at a craft fair.
I'm not kidding.
It's the Don and Mike show.
Yeah.
And they'll say what they wish.
I thought you were going to give yourself a chime there.
I was. I hit the wrong button. I have jammed with that band at a craft fair.
And they can never take that away from
you. There you go. So you brought it up when you said grassroots. Robbie, we don't have time to play this.
No, we're taping this, don't you?
Okay, Don.
We'll play it tomorrow.
Okay, Don.
The sound of your footsteps.
Yeah. This is me really trying.
Tell me that you're near.
I'm singing with the real grassroots.
We're stuck in motion, babe. We got a feeling that no one can hear except in my midnight confession.
Before their tour took them to Pharaoh Small.
The grassroots. They let me do the good part here.
I love you as a little pony.
Anyway, that's me, the grassroots. Your fault for saying grassroots.
Sorry about that.
Got me going on the grassroots.
I was talking about grassroots pie.
Well, apparently some of the Janet emails came from church congregations that watched as a group. And while some of the emails weren't really complaints at all, others actually called for Justin and Janet to be sent to prison.
Yeah, I'm for that.
The union that represents radio and TV performers has spoken up about the current indecency witch hunt.
That was, you're talking about UAFTRA?
AFTRA, that's right.
No, UAFTRA.
UAFTRA.
Useless Actors.
Yeah.
Radio.
What's AFTRA going to do?
What's the safest union in the world?
You're not going to believe this.
I think you'll like what they had to say.
AFTRA is the American Federation of Radio and Television Artists.
Television and radio artists, right?
I know you will, Mr. Tenure.
The union is specifically upset about the supposed new policy at Clear Channel Communications that would pass government fines on to DJs to
pay.
Incredible! Quoting AFTRA, "Our members are not responsible for programming. They don't hold a license. What's indecent is how big media is trying to absolve itself by making employees pay fines that are levied because of management's programming decisions." An executive at the Fox Network, by the way, agrees, quoting her, "We don't want an environment where talent is afraid to show up."
Our union is weaker than Mr. Burns on The Simpsons.
What Buzz just read will be the only thing this union does, this useless union.
The DJ union is, and Buzz, I know you love them because they got your money once in Chicago, right? Is that what they
did? Well, yeah, and they plan to get me more money in the future.
Yeah, Buzz is one of those guys that's got enough money in union shops that he's worked in where he's got a pension now.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Pension?
My rent in Guadalajara is paid.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, he loves the union. But they're going to do squat, though. I mean, they're not going to do anything.
That depends, Mike. They will represent legally people who
funds. Hold on a second. Here is Gail Berman from Fox Broadcasting, the president of Fox.
That was her quote there.
Talking about DJs paying fines.
Okay. We don't want to create an environment where talent is afraid to show up. While I agree with the position that we would accept that as something we would do, it's ultimately our responsibility as a broadcast company to be responsible for what goes out over the airwaves. We don't want to create an environment where people feel they shouldn't show up for a show because they might commit an accident of some kind.
What? I think I just had an accident. What?
What was that?
Let's wrap this up.
It's The Witch Hunt 2004.
Yeah.
McCarthyism all over again.
Amen. Finally, Heather O'Neill of Bourne, Massachusetts, is avoiding all fast food restaurants.
Now, what's her identity, I wonder?
Bourne identity,
Heather O'Neill. And she's avoiding all fast food restaurants.
She born again?
Not just McDonald's, according to her lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Born to be alive?
Born on date.
She takes the story from here.
Born to be wild?
Quoting Heather.
Born yesterday.
I'm eating my fries, and something falls into my lap. I look down and pick it up, and oh, my God.
Oh, hold on. All right, this is good. It's always good when somebody goes into... What's the restaurant?
This was McDonald's in this case.
Come on, what is it?
She's off all the fast food restaurants. The restaurant has no comment, but a local TV station says the workers there are now wearing plastic gloves to handle the food.
Why?
The station says the employees were not doing that, not wearing the gloves, the day Heather found the bloody Band-Aid in her French fries.
Good heavens, no.
Yes. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
Oh, these aren't salty enough.
I told you that's the best kicker, Buzz.
You're Topper right. Fries.
Every day, Buzz. Yes, says here's the kicker. I said, right. You got a story about a bloody Band-Aid in McDonald's French fries?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's your go-to.
Go with it. Mm-hmm. So there
go
it is.
Go-to. Yeah. Devil man. Devil suit. That's it. We got to go. We'll see you tomorrow with the all-new episode. Stand by for an outstanding entertainment program.
Should be interesting.
Larry Michael tells all.
So you say.
Every question you want answered every question you want asked will be answered tonight.
Start dialing.
You're trouble, mister.
You're on WJFK. That's it. We got to go. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you,
good day
sir.
To you, sir.
Rob, I need some vinegar.
Let's go get some Haggis
right now. All my very best.
So long,
suckers.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.